People, Vanessa Lloyd-Platt, always a pleasure to speak to you. Divorce lawyer, thank you very much indeed. Well, I'm almost done for another day. I'm just about to put a Twitter poll out, by the way, about Pippa Middleton. She apparently is getting married in 2 days' time. If you read a lot of the tabloids, you'd know more about this than I do. And a big debate in the office, whether or not we even mention it, even in an ironic, critical way or not tomorrow. I'm going to do a Twitter poll on that. If you follow me on Twitter, at JulieHP1, you get to decide whether we discuss it or not. You get the final say. Coming up after 1 o'clock, Yasmin Khan standing in for Mr. Man Flu himself, John Holmes. And she's in the studio. What's happening on your show?
Oh, he's not well. Bless him.
Oh, don't give him any sympathy.
I'm not really. That was quite fake. So
We're horrible to the poorly people
we
here.
We are. Get well soon, John.
Yeah, whatever.
I think he's really delighted they've got an Asian woman to cover for him.
Oh! What plan? Where did that come from?
Oh, it's an old story.
That could be misinterpreted. I don't say on behalf of talk radio. I don't represent. I don't
know. He loves it. He's all over the diversity.
He loves the diversity. Right. Go, yes. Oh, now I get it. Yes, now I get it. Yeah, he's been sacked from many jobs. Anyway, no time for her to tell. She's too late to the studio. No time for her to tell
sheds.
Us what's coming up.
Sheds. There you go.
Sheds. It'll be similar to the usual nonsense from John Holmes. I'll be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning with or without Pippa Middleton and her bottom. Yasmin Khan here after 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. This is Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. Results, analysis and updates from the campaigning all the way to the final count.
Can I quote you on that?
Join the conversation party on your election station.
Our fortunes prosper well.
Talk Radio. Paul Weller is back with A Kind Revolution. Mojo magazine says it's an album that ranks among his finest work, including the single Long, Long Road. When the road is long, gotta pull together. Paul Weller, A Kind Revolution, out now.
So what do you think of my six-pack, Brian?
Oh, you never could count.
These abs, they're just like a washboard. Go on, give him a dig.
Well, if you're sure, Neil.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
Oh, those aren't my abs, Brian.
Really?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bet and knackers only. Please bet responsibly.
Mummy and Daddy got 2 free tickets to Legoland with the sun. When they collected 10 tokens inside the paper,
saving us up to £120.
Can I join Brendan?
That's 2 free tickets to the Legoland Windsor Resort when you collect 10 tokens inside the sun. Starts this Saturday.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. Brr. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status, £20 setup, Sky Q loaned at no cost, minimum contract and terms apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon. It's not John Holmes, it's Yasmin in for John Holmes, talking sheds, talking weddings, apparently some big wedding at the weekend, I don't know, never heard about it. And news review coming up. First of all, Victoria Bourne has the latest headlines.
Thanks, Yasmin. Coming up, more election promises, Rolf to leave prison tomorrow, and shock at Chris Cornell's death.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May says the next 5 years will be among the most challenging of our lifetime as she launched the Tories' election manifesto. She's promising to deliver a revolution in social care and tougher visa requirements for foreign students. While UKIP says it'll get rid of VAT on domestic fuel if it wins next month's election. The party's energy spokesman also says they'd focus on grown-up technology and there'd be no more subsidies for renewable tech. MEP Roger Helmer says family families will reap the benefits.
We believe we can confidently and conservatively say that the decisions we propose to make with regard to subsidies and with regard to VAT on domestic fuel will mean a saving for the average family in this country of at least £170 a year.
A drug addict couple have been jailed for 11 years for trying to stage the death of their baby on a bus. The pair planned to get away with abusing Imani, who died in East London last September. Police are investigating a series of baby deaths at Chester Hospital. The Cheshire Force says more babies died than expected during the period of June 2015 to June 2016. Rolf Harris will be released from prison tomorrow. The former entertainer is due to appear in person at his indecent assault trial next week, where he denies four charges against him. And the frontman of the band Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, has died in what's been described as sudden and unexpected circumstances. He wrote and performed the theme song for the Bond film Casino Royale. Talk Radio's Alex Dibble has more.
He played a gig with Soundgarden in Detroit last night, but died shortly afterwards. Cornell was 52 years old. We're told his family are working with medics to determine the cause of his death. As well as fronting Soundgarden, the American released four solo albums and teamed up with Rage Against the Machine members to form supergroup Audioslave.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunshine and showers this afternoon with a risk of thunder for some. Cloudier in the southeast of England with rain later. Highs of 18 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Even though Tottenham missed out on the Premier League title to Chelsea this season, boss Maurizio Pochettino is encouraged by how his side have progressed. Victory at Leicester tonight would take Spurs to 83 points. That's two more than their opponents got last season to become champions. Pochettino says that shows they're getting better.
The team improved, the team move on. I think we are so close again, like last season. It's not enough, but next season we will try again to try to fight and try to achieve the thing that today we cannot achieve.
The Sky Bet League 2 playoff finalists will be decided tonight. Blackpool will take a 3-2 lead to Luton for the second leg of their semi-final tie, and it's 3-3 between Exeter and Carlisle. Finally, Britain's Johanna Konta attempts to reach the quarterfinals of the Italian Open tennis today. She takes on seven-time Grand Slam winner Venus Williams in the last 16. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Andy, what you fancy for lunch?
McDonald's? Great Taste of America's back with a South Carolina steak.
What's that?
Legend has it there are two beef burgers.
Oh, yeah, Andy.
Smoked cheese, bacon, grilled onions, and a serving of yippee-ki-yay sweet South Carolina sauce. What do you say, cowboy?
Giddy up, partner. Let's go.
Yeehaw!
Great Taste of America is back at McDonald's. Go all out for the South Carolina steak with smoky cheese. Ends 30th of May. Available from 10:30 a.m, subject to availability, participating restaurants only.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes, on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Get turned on to all killer, no filler conversation. Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes, on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, that jingly thing was right. You're listening to Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes, who unfortunately is still feeling a little under the weather, so we wish him well. But today we have got... it's quite a busy show. Right the way through to 4pm when Sam Delaney will be taking over on Drive. So in the next hour, we'll be giving Talk Radio's roaming reporter, Alex Dibble, Officer Dibble as we fondly call him, some time inside the studio to review the day's papers with us. Apparently he's quite good at it, we'll find out. Might mark you out of 10 live on air, Alex, we'll see. We'll also have the award-winning comedian Steve Bujaya in the studio to talk about his upcoming show at Soho Theatre. And of course, I do believe that Talk Radio is your number one election coverage station. After two, we'll be getting an update from the campaign trail as we follow the leader. And later on in the show, Talk Radio's self-appointed political editor. Hang on, when did you become political editor?
I changed my Twitter bio and no one questioned it.
Oh, fair enough. That's how things work. Cornelius will be shining his election spotlight, and it's very big once more today on the city of St Albans.
Mm.
Did you actually go there?
No.
No. Fine. And you, of course, are more than welcome to get in touch with the show. You can ring us 0344 499 1000. Standard network charges and all of that. If you want to text us, text the word TALK and your message to 87222, which will cost you 25p plus your standard network rate. You can tweet us at Talk Radio. I am Yasmin Khan.
with Yasmin Khan. In for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, hi. This is different. I like being here. Normally, I'm here on a Friday. Alex Dibble, as you know, well know.
I do well know.
But it's Thursday. We've changed things a bit.
Is John Holmes in for you tomorrow?
No. I don't think. Well, job swap.
Yeah.
Is it like non-uniform day? At school?
I never did that because I never had a uniform at school.
What? Oh, look, already we've hit on something here. What do you mean? Did you go to one of those trendy schools?
No, I just went to a state comprehensive that decided it was better not to wear uniforms. And it was great because everyone just turned up in their own clothes.
That's so unfair. I had to wear bottle green for 5 years. Including bottle green PE pants. Thank you, Honley High School.
We didn't wear what we wanted for PE. We did have PE kit.
Yeah, but it wasn't bottle green, was it?
No.
No, and they didn't make you run long distance. What do they call it?
Cross country.
Oh, even the phrase fills me with dread.
What else are they going to make you do in PE?
Yeah, but...
They didn't make you run, did they?
Yeah, I hated
it. No, they made us do algebra.
It was in the days before I had an inhaler, but I had a lot of asthma. It was not good.
All right.
And in Yorkshire, you know, cross country is literally cross country. It was not fun. Didn't like it. And then on top of that, you had to wear green PE pants. It's a beautiful picture I'm painting here.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dibble, what's in the news?
So much.
So much
we could start with. I want to start with raccoons. This is one of my favourite stories of the day.
Right.
Forgive me. I'm just going to...
He's lost the story.
I've got it. Okay, I've got it. Masked intruder terrorises family and steals cereal bar.
What?
This is a family in Northamptonshire. Were woken... On Monday night, I heard some banging upstairs and just assumed it was Dottie the cat.
Right, obviously.
Messing around, yeah. Says Marek, the father of the household. He realised then that it was a raccoon which ran into his daughter's bedroom. And he says, after stealing a cereal bar from the handbag, the raccoon ran into Catherine's bedroom. He started rummaging around in the drawers. I tried to shoo him away, but he just hissed back at me. He had to call the RSPCA, who... came and picked him up the next morning.
Yeah.
The raccoon, not the man. It was his house.
Where was this? Northampton?
Northamptonshire.
Are raccoons native to Northamptonshire?
No, they are native to America.
How did it get into Northamptonshire?
It's a very good question.
Did it got a passport?
The RSPCA came to pick it up, and Mr. Marek says, I had to work from home. I think my boss was quite confused when I explained it to him. Which reminded me of that... Great Friends episode where Joey keeps going, and then a raccoon came in, and it's just the most terrible excuse in the world. And yet this guy got to genuinely
use it.
Oh. Dream.
No, not dream. What, have you ever found a wild animal in your house? I once found, well, I didn't actually get to see it, thankfully. So I was at home at my mum and dad's, and I noticed that the hot water... Every time I use the hot water, there's sort of a slightly weird smell coming from it. And at first I'm thinking it's the sink, it's the drain. So I was like, Mum, there's something wrong. The upstairs, the bathroom sink, it's a bit dodge. And she was like, well, I can't smell anything. And I was like, fair enough. You know, they're a bit older. Sense of smell might not be so good. So I was like, it'll go away. It'll be fine. Shove some stuff down the drain. Shove some whatever it is down the drain. And next couple of days, the smell is still there. And now it's in all the hot water from all the taps. And I'm like, no, there's definitely something funny going on here. But then I had to leave. So I was like, Mum, there's something funny going on. Can you get someone to check? And she's like, well, check what? And I said, the hot water stinks. So one of our brilliant neighbours came over and went up into the hot water tank in the loft. And there was a dead squirrel in it.
Oh.
Yeah. I hate those little things.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. So, and he fished it out.
How did it get in there?
It must have got in through the roof, Cornelius. What noise
like
is that?
No, it's awful. I don't like that.
Got in through the roof, coving, whatever it is, and got into the tank. Lovely. Anyway, so there you go.
Staying on the animal theme, this is one of my favourite headlines, I think, of the year. Cannibal super slug in garden rampage.
More animal news.
Yeah, I'm stealing Victoria's week. This is... 6-inch pests can survive 20 pellets. Gardeners are being urged to protect their plants from an invasion of cannibal super slugs.
What? Hang on. So the slugs are eating the other slugs?
Yeah, because the randy Spanish species called... I know, this gets better. Called Arion vulgaris has been mating with slugs here, producing 6-inch monsters. Billions of the pests are expected to ravage gardens and allotments after a mild winter. And then this is the thing.
Ravage Garden. I've got all their albums.
Yeah. The humid weather has been an ideal breeding ground for Spanish slugs, which are known to feast on plants as well as dead mice and even each other.
That's disgusting.
I know, right? The Spanish slugs are believed to have hitched a ride to the UK on salad leaves in 2010.
Someone's going to turn this into an immigration story. I know. They are. What paper is this in?
This is in...
What page? People want to look up...
The Daily Mirror! Okay, and then the recommended way to kill the pests, the beasts, is a saucer of beer.
And that gets rid of them. If I'd known that when I was little. So on the way to...
Glug it down and then you don't mind stamping on them.
No, you mustn't do that. When I was little and we used to go to the wreck. Do you still call a wreck a wreck?
Only my grandparents call a wreck a wreck.
Excellent. That's aged me. So on the way, my older brother would have to, like, you know, my mum would force him to take me out to play to go to the wreck. But on the way to the wreck, there was a long path filled with slugs. And instead of being a nice big brother and lifting me up, because he was much older than me, and carrying me over the slugs, he would just stand and laugh as I cried because I didn't want to walk down the path.
That's really mean of him.
It was. Yeah, well, to there. I've just outed him on air for slug taunting.
Am I allowed to stay with the animal theme?
Yeah, what, more?
I know.
You are doing Victoria out of a job.
The bars in blue. Police in Cumbria are to get a crash course in handling sheep. Officers will learn how to move the animals to safety in a bid to cut rural crime.
What, sheep wrangling?
Yes. Cumbria Constabulary has teamed up with the National Farmers Union, whose Helen Forrester said will organise nights of action when farmers join officers patrolling rural West Cumbria after dark. There's no more information in the story. That's the end of it.
So, they're trying to stop people nicking sheep?
I don't know what they're trying to stop, but they've teamed up with the Farmers Union.
Or is it criminal sheep we're looking at?
Yeah, it sounds like the sheep are on the rampage at night.
Well, I'm glad you have these questions because I also had them at the end of reading the article and I was hoping I would say it and you'd go, well, of course, this is what sheep do after dark and this is what they're trying to stop. But
We've had a cereal bar stealing skunk. No, raccoon.
Raccoon.
We've had killer Randy, as they were described in the paper, slugs.
Super slugs.
Cannibal Randy super slugs.
Yeah.
And now we've got sheep that are potentially criminal sheep.
Yeah, after dark in Cumbria.
What, like criminal fraternity of sheep?
The underworld.
Yeah, lads, we're going to hit that jewellery shop.
How do you control a police officer controlling sheep? Is it the exact same as a sheepdog? Do you just, like, go... come by, and then the copper will run around the field.
Instead of dialing 999.
And the copper listens to that. He knows what that means. They're quite clever. They're cleverer than you think, coppers. And they understand that. And they know how to round up.
How to go round.
Yeah.
I've got a brilliant... well, we'll save it. Story about police and animals a bit later.
Excellent.
On. Not that kind of story. Stop it. And also, I feel the need... I did talk about this because I was so traumatised at this point to mention that I was surrounded 2 weeks ago in Cornwall by a herd of cows and I was really scared.
Cows are scary.
Yeah, thank you.
When they turn and look at you and you wonder if they're going to charge.
They were nibbling at my Converse. I was really frightened.
Really? They got that close?
They were. I was surrounded and I was on a ridge. I'm not joking. I was really scared. But I was rescued. I was a rescued maiden by a kindly gentleman. Who, to be fair, took his time. He just stood at the back of the herd when he came over the crest of the hill, saw me surrounded and was like... Oh.
Was it just you? Was there anyone else?
No, it was just me. I was stuck. Yeah. Could have been the end of me.
Is this the... Did you say you were going to tell the story after?
There's another story.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was to do with the police.
You've ruined the second half of the hour here.
This is cows. Keep up. That's another story. Anyway, so one more before break.
No. Yeah, well, you're in control.
Am I? You say this.
Okay, hang on.
All right, no, we'll save them. We'll savour you because it's not often we have the luxury of the dibble in the studio for so long. How does it feel?
This feels great.
What's it feel like to see a ceiling? Because you're normally out and about.
I am out and about. A ceiling.
I love your out and abouts.
Nice. Oh, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I like it when you're on College Green or you're outside number 10 and you go into the real detail. Like, you were talking about a cat for a long time once.
Larry the Downing Street cat.
See, there's an animal theme.
Yeah. I mean, John Holmes, I am his go-to guy when it comes to highbrow political analysis.
And that's why we've got you in today. And we will have more from Mr. Alex Dibble after the break. It's Yasmin.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
MP or not MP? That is the question.
I still think I was the best candidate.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
Paul Weller is back. With a kind revolution. Mojo magazine says it's an album that ranks among his finest work, including the single Long, Long Road. When the road is rough, gotta pull together. Paul Weller, A Kind Revolution, out now.
There's too much pressure in our lives these days, like making sure your phone doesn't run out of battery. I'm at 3%. So when it comes to selling your car, try WeBuyAnyCar.com. Our branch staff are there to make life easy. There's no pressure. You can choose to sell or not to sell. Could someone charge me up quick? To sell your car quickly and easily, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
All good things must come to an end, and Matt's beloved work boots have just trod their final step. Time to click and collect from Screwfix. Whatever you need for the job, with Screwfix you can check stock online, then just click and collect in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix, here when you need us.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
To the M5 and one lane closed there due to an accident between junction 5 for the A38 and Droitwich through towards junction 4A for the M42. It's happened within the roadworks area. Lane 1 of the three lane stretch is closed. M5 heading southbound got one lane closed there due to a broken down vehicle between junction 1 for West Brom through towards junction 2 for Oldbury. Traffic reported to be coping fairly well. Again, lane 1 of 3 there closed. And the M50 heading eastbound through Herefordshire seems one lane closed due to a vehicle fire between junction 3 for Newent through towards junction 2 for Ledbury. I'm Andy Brox.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. 100% hard talk. Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome along this afternoon. John Holmes is not very well. Get better, love. It's Yasmin here with you, normally from off of Friday Drive. I will be back on Friday Drive tomorrow, but for now, I'm with you right the way through to 4 p.m. Officer Dibble, as we fondly call him, Alex Dibble, like news head, politics head, out and about head, all of those things.
I'm the political editor of Talk Radio.
Hang on. There's a poll ed off. What's going on here?
I'm the political editor.
It's because I'm usually out of the building, as we have already established.
I'm head of diversity, obviously.
Obvs.
So, what's going on here?
And Con believes that while I'm out, he can just take whatever title he wishes. And when I come back, I just have to take it. Well, no.
Well,
you don't.
You don't come and push me out of my office.
Do you remember when we started and Alex Dibble was all like, you know, meek and shy and polite?
You can shut up.
Oh, that's me told. That's being mean to the cover presenter. Do your next story, Dibble.
Okay. This is a good one, though.
Yeah, it better
I'll make it up to you. This is, okay, so a couple in Texas, right? 37-year-old guy by the name of Brandon Vesmar taking a 35...
I love American names.
Yeah, I know.
Brandon Vesmar.
I know, some of them are ridiculous, aren't they? But he's taking a date, 2 years his junior, to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yet, after the film, after the whole experience, he sues her for $17.31... to recover the price of his date.
Why?
The reason. He told the Austin American newspaper that 15 minutes into the movie, his date has got out her phone and is starting to read and send text messages, which he believes is his pet peeve. He can't stand it.
And where is this fine piece of news reported?
In the Times.
Oh.
I see your surprise.
I am.
but this is good.
Go on.
Because, 15, as I said, she begins texting. He claims that while the Guardians were on their tricky quest to discover the parentage and origins of Peter Quill, the Star-Lord, his 35-year-old date activated her phone at least 10 to 20 times. He asked her to stop, but she refused. When he insisted, she left the Barton Creek Square multiplex and never came back. Outrage. However, it gets worse. This was a problem for Mr. Vesmar, as she was driving and he had no other way of getting home. He did not possess the superhuman powers of Peter Quill, a master of alien firearms, but he does work as a communications consultant, and he was sure that he had justice on his side. So after texting her several requests for the $17.31, he filed a lawsuit.
No, he and sued then, his date.
Yeah, I know. And then the director of Guardians of the Galaxy got involved. He tweeted, "Why stop at suing? She deserves jail time."
Oh, that is a bad date. I thought I'd had some bad ones.
Can you beat it?
Okay. So I was with a friend. We were talking to these two gentlemen. And this is a long time ago, but I've never forgotten it because he was so... Oh. I got stuck with the one that just talked about himself constantly and about how much property he owned. So there was an awful lot of chat about, I own this. Yeah, you should get into property because, you know, this is the return I've had on it in the last 15 years. And, you know, when you just think, shut up, you boring man. He then gets to the point where he looks at my friend and she went... yeah, I mean, you're all right, but she's really attractive, isn't she? And my friend was on a kind of a date with the other guy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking I need to get out of here really fast, but the problem was we were on a boat.
No.
So, I'm trying to get on this. There's just no way. I mean, I've been on some dates where I call them the burnt throat date because I drink hot chocolate, you know, and how quickly can you drink it to get the heck out of there? So we're on this boat and I'm thinking, okay, so he's bored me about how much money he's got. He's now told me that he doesn't think I'm that pretty. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that, because you know all the painting yourself. And I'm on a boat, which is kind of... out, not moored.
Where is this boat? Are you in the middle of the Atlantic? Or are you just like a couple of yards off the shore of the Thames?
It was a couple of yards off the shore in off the marina in Dubai. I think that we were in Dubai somewhere. And I'm looking at my friend and she's chatting away to this guy. And you know when you think, maybe it's fine because they're having a nice time. I'll just have to suffer this. But he was awful. And then we didn't actually stay that long with him. And the bill comes. And then I remember, this is the guy I don't expect ever to be paid for. This is the guy who talked about how much money he had. So we'd had four drinks between us. They'd had cocktails. And my friend and I, and I'll never forget this, she doesn't drink, neither do I. We'd had two Diet Cokes. And by now it's dark. He gets his phone out to put the light on to look at the bill to see what everybody had had so that they could pay for it. And I just took it off him and went, "You're all right, mate, I'll get these." Oh, irritating man. There you go. That's quite a bad day, isn't it?
I can see the anger is still residing. So my next question is, was this...
And then, dear reader, I married him.
Was this last century or last week?
No, this was about... 7 years ago or something. Okay. Yeah, it's
that sounds pretty bad.
He was awful.
I love that. I wanted to get away, but I was in a boat.
I've got loads. Could do the whole show, but let's not. Anyway, he was never to be seen again. I love someone who goes on about how much cash they've got and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would move on to another story, but I've put my, you know, the post-it notes on the newspaper, so I've put them the wrong way around. So, hang on.
What kind of a news reviewer are you?
That's a very good question.
Rubbish one.
Oh, yeah, that's not... Snail.
Back to the animals.
Yeah. I thought I'd done them all, but clearly I hadn't noticed the post-it the wrong way around.
Are we still with the Times on this one?
Yeah. Oh, no. We're with the Mail this time.
With the Mail, okay.
This is the unfortunate tale of Jeremy, the snail. He is a one-in-a-million snail because his shell... goes the other way.
No.
Yeah. So it coils anti-clockwise.
Wait, hold on. I'm now trying to picture. Do they all coil
Yeah. Yeah. Apart from Jeremy and a very few other snails. But because of the snail genetic makeup, you can only mate with another snail whose shell coils the same way as yours.
No, don't tell me so Jeremy's lonely.
Yes.
Alex, that's a very old-fashioned view you have there.
Yeah.
I must say. You need to be more progressive.
Yeah. You should be able to go with any snail
I think so.
Direction.
He can't. He's a snail, all right? He's a snail. So a worldwide search was begun for a lover for Jeremy. And two potential candidates were found. One, I believe, from Spain. Maybe he came over on the same leaves as those slugs.
Back to the Spanish.
One of them was from Spain. So one of them was somewhere else. And then they got them to go with Jeremy. And then the other two mated with each other and left Jeremy still alone.
No.
No, this is worse than being stuck on a boat in Dubai with that guy.
This is a worse date. Jeremy.
So they imported two anti-clockwise shell snails for him.
There are three anti-clockwise snails in a room. One of them is the reason why they're all there. And the other two just go, no, see you later.
How does that work, though? So is two of these snails having a homosexual dalliance?
No, apparently, and I didn't know this, snails have both male and female sex organs.
Right.
So they have to...
So it's literally the direction of the shell that's the difference.
It's because I think they have to go side by side when they mate, and therefore if the shell's not the right way, it doesn't work or something like that.
Wow.
How do they go side... When they mate, they go side by side.
Yeah, I know. But can I just say at this stage that... If you ask many more questions, I won't be able to answer.
Because you've lost the story.
Well, because I'm not a scientist, and particularly a scientist of snail.
I feel then, if I'm allowed to adjudicate on this, that actually political editor title should go to Cornelius.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
That is harsh,
that
I believe.
Any more? You've got, a minute.
Pippa Middleton's wedding tips.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I assume this is satire in the mail, but I quite enjoyed them. Food is best served on plates, whilst drinks are best served in glasses so that they don't spill.
No.
That's number seven.
That's amazing.
In a spirit of good-natured fun, it is traditional for the guests to tie tin cans to the back of the bride and groom's car. If the couple are not well off and have been obliged to depart on foot, then these tin cans should be attached to their clothes instead.
I think it might be satire, maybe. Do you think?
I hope so.
When's she getting married?
Saturday.
Okay.
Big glass... we spoke to someone yesterday in a big glass sort of... marquee.
Goldfish bowl.
It looks like the mini version of the old Crystal Palace that they used to have.
Oh. It's not televised, is it, because she's not? I mean, it'll be in the news, but there won't be like a...
I don't think they're doing a one show about it.
Fair enough. Alex Dibble, thank you.
It is my pleasure, Yasmin.
Victoria's hovering behind you and nobody wants that.
No. I better get out of the way.
Alex Dibble, he was... political editor of Talk Radio. He's no longer, but he's been a fine paper reviewer. Thank you, Alex Dibble. Coming up, we're going to be talking to the comedian Steve Bujaya, who's joining me live in the studio to talk about his new show at Soho Theatre. And we're going to be talking sheds later on, because they're no longer just somewhere to store your garden tools. You store your gran in there if you want all sorts. It's 1:30, latest headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Prime Minister has launched the Tories' manifesto, claiming there are five great giant challenges we face.
One, the need for a strong economy. Two, responding to Brexit and a changing world. Three, tackling enduring social divisions. Four, responding to an ageing society. And five, facing up to fast-changing technology.
Theresa May has admitted the next 5 years will be among the most challenging of our lifetime, but she's promised to build a stronger, fairer and more prosperous Britain. She says people won't be forced to pay for their care if they have assets which are worth less than £100,000. And she's also announced an end to the triple lock on pensions. A couple who tried to stage the death of their 16-week-old baby on a bus in East London have been jailed for 11 years. Drug addicts Jeffrey Wiltshire and Rosalind Baker concocted a plan to try and get away with abusing Imani, who died last September. Cheshire Police are investigating a higher than expected number of baby deaths at Chester Hospital. It'll focus on 8 in the year from June 2015 to last June, while also reviewing why 7 other babies died and 6 collapsed. All parties in Wales have suspended campaigning as a mark of respect to former Welsh First Minister Rhodri Morgan. The Labour politician has died at the age of 77. And Detroit police say the death of Chris Cornell is being investigated as a possible suicide. The lead singer of Soundgarden and Audioslave died at the MGM Grand Hotel after a gig last night. The weather, sunshine and showers for many with a risk of thunder for some. Cloudier in the southeast with rain later on. Highs of 18 degrees is more in half an hour.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
Okay, here's the plan so far for the Unexplained with me, Howard Hughes, Sunday night.
We hope to connect with the big UFO event in America, Contact in the Desert. Happens once a year, always a good event. This side of the Atlantic, we'll be talking with Gary Heseltine, who collates UFO reports from people who wear uniforms, police, emergency service workers, pilots, people like that. And we should be talking about Roswell, an update from Tom Carey. There will be much more on the show. Unfortunately for now, I have to keep it all a closely guarded secret.
The Unexplained, Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
Get turned on to all killer, no filler conversation. Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I'm flummoxed because it's Thursday and not Friday, but that's all right. It's good.
It is good. It's a nice surprise.
What was it like waking up so early to get in for one?
Yeah, it was difficult. Yeah. To be fair, when I got the call, I was actually in my nightwear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Writing, I hasten to add. I was on a writing deadline. Now, regular listeners to this show, to the John Holmes show, will know that the lovely Victoria's bulletins were made smaller by 1 minute by those with power.
That's right.
The management. And John, because he's like this, he conducted a really thorough investigation to check that Victoria was being paid less. And we found out, he found out, that actually you're being paid the same as you were.
I mean,
before.
He didn't investigate, he just asked me.
Fair enough.
And I told him. And yeah, I am being paid the same, which I maintain is the right decision.
Well, I think he didn't, did he? Because he has established that every day after the 3:30 news, Victoria will deliver a bonus news segment. So we're going to carry on with that tradition today. Animal, vegetable or mineral news. And today, I believe it is mineral news.
Which one do you think would be more interesting, Yasmin?
Well, Dibble's out-animaled you, I'm afraid. He had a lot of animal news in his review.
Do you know what? He's annoying.
Is that your review of the Dibble?
Yeah.
He's just...
We've got a bit of... A bit of beef going on at the moment about chocolate bars.
Is that your animal news? Was that animal news there?
No. Beef? No, that's with... I'm trying to be cool. We're having an argument. We're bickering every day about chocolate because he interfered with some of mine and I did
not
appreciate it.
He's interfered with your chocolate?
Yeah, and he doesn't think that's wrong.
Was it a two finger or a four finger?
It was a double decker, so one finger.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it when, didn't an email go around the other week that someone nicked someone's food out of, I mean, it is like a student common room.
It's so gross as well. Even though there's a cleaner which comes in like 3 times a day, it's
still nice.
Yeah, she's lovely. I chat to her. But yeah, I don't know what happens. I blame TalkSport.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you're going to be back with mineral news at 3:30.
If I have to do mineral.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
You do. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. You know you love it.
Well, no, I like animal news.
No, we've had, well, no.
It's the listeners who
It's
prefer,
the listener favourite.
Yeah, it's the listener
favourite. It says
favorite.
Here on this bit of paper.
So it must be true.
Listener favourite mineral news. V to the B will be back with mineral news. Thank you.
You were going to tell us a story.
Oh, but because more animal stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So last night, I was sitting at home. I was just working away on my laptop and it was dark outside. And suddenly there was no siren, but I see all these flashing blue lights. Mm. And you can't help it, right? You're like, oh, I'll have a look. Sort of crane your neck out the window and have a look. Because you kind of, there's a little bit of you that's hoping that, you know, it'll all be fine, but like you kind of, there might be some exciting chase going on.
Oh,
and you'll see them apprehend the... Anyway, they seem to go into one of the neighbours' back garden, sort of look at, there were two of them, sort of have a look around a bit and then just, they went, it wasn't very exciting.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't very exciting. But this is ages ago, I was sat, it was quite sunny out, and I was sitting on the sort of curbside, which I know sounds really weird because in London people don't really do that sort of thing.
Go and sit on the floor outside their house.
Yeah, basically.
No, people don't do that.
No, but it's...
We have chairs in our houses.
Yeah, but I don't
Where do they do that?
Well, I don't have a garden.
Are you sure everyone does that, or is it just you who does this?
Yeah, well, it's just me and two kids who are on the sort of other side of the street. But it was really sunny, and I haven't got a garden, and I was sitting out, and it's a dead-end road, so it's fine. It's not quite as weird. And I was listening to these two children, and they must have been about, I don't know, about 11, 12 years old. And what got them is obviously they're I could tell by their accents and everything, real Londoners, inner city kids. And they're sitting there, and suddenly these two policemen come past on patrol, but on horses, not in a car. And look at that. And the kid, one of the kids goes, "Look at that, man. Look at that. It's feds on a horse." And the other one goes, "Whoa, it's like a car, but with legs." And then the horse did what horses do. In the street.
In the street, yeah.
And then one of the kids goes, because up until now they were enthralled because these police were, you know, they'd never seen mounted police before. And paused as a poo in the middle of the street. And one of the kids goes, "Oh, look at that. That is disgusting, man. That is disgusting." Like, he's over it. He wants to be back. He's quite happy with the cars now that he's seen what they do. And the other kid goes, like, he gives it a bit of thought. He looks at it and he goes, "I don't know. It's sort of liberating. You can just do what you want, where you want." And they were about 12 years old.
Wow.
Feds on it. Why do they call them feds?
Feds. Well, that's an Americanism, isn't it?
So
it's also
it
not
from...
for police either, because it means the federal police.
Yeah, but they
should be like the FBI and stuff.
I know, but I don't think the local constabulary on horses were like...
No. MI5 trying to just blend in. used to being in London. They're like, what do they have in the countryside? Horses. Yeah,
so it was a double bluff.
Yeah, maybe.
Then not long after, there must have been something going on. So I walked down the end of the road and there were two guys sitting in a car, just a regular car. They were just sitting there. And as I approached, they tried to, what I would say, act normal. And they were sort of, this is such a cliche, but there were actually donut boxes on the windscreen. And it's like, you're blatantly undercover police and making a really bad job of this. Like, and they were just sort of staring at people, but then pretending that they were just like reading their A to Z. It's like, who's got an A to Z? Why have you got an A to Z? Why not just?
I've never understood that as a tactic, because no one just sits in their car.
Surveillance.
Unless you, because you don't have any seats in your house. But that's probably why you'd buy a car, just for the chairs.
Just for the chairs.
Yeah. But no one sits in a car. So I think it's always really obvious.
Yeah.
I think you're better off just walking past every now and then, because I don't think people will really notice you.
And no, and it was a hot day and there were two guys sitting in a car in the middle of the day just eating junk food and then pretending, trying to look like they were just blending in. Didn't work.
Do you have a car?
Yes.
Okay. What I would
have
done.
It's got two seats.
Yeah. It's gone and parked opposite them and just sat staring
and made
them.
Notes.
Yeah.
Like, just really obviously got a notepad out.
Yeah, because it'd be great to see what they do. And you just go, "Oh no, I just do this. Why don't you? Well, you're doing it," and see what happens.
My brother once got, he was sitting in his car drinking a can of Tango and he got breathalyzed.
Really?
Yeah, he was sitting outside his own house and they didn't believe that.
What is it? Why are people sitting in cars?
When they could just go home.
Yeah.
Well, he was just sitting out. He just pulled up at home. He was just taking 5 minutes and he was drinking a can of Tango. I have a pop of some variety. I think it was Tango. And police came past and said, words to the effect of, "This is your car, sir. Where do you live?" And all of this. And he's like, "Well, I live there." And they're like, "Why are you sitting in your car?"
Exactly. Yeah. I would have just arrested him.
No. For
just,
what?
Just on suspicion.
On suspicion.
Just on I'm suspicious. That's what I would have done.
Well, no, they did breathalyze him.
Oh, fair enough.
That's not fair enough.
It was all clear?
Yeah, of course it was. Excellent. He was just drinking some he doesn't drink. He was drinking some pop. more to come. It's Yasmin here with the In for John Holmes. Coming up shortly, I'm going to be joined by the comedian Steve Bujaya. He's coming into the studio. He's going to be live in Soho Theatre very soon. We'll get to hear from him right after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Builders, joiners, tradesmen, lend me your ears. Want trade brands? Selco's got it. Want lots of stock on the shelf? Selco's got it. Trade prices too?
Yep, Selco's got it. Yes, a massive range in stock of trade-branded building materials at great trade prices. Selco's got it. See selcobw.com to find your nearest branch and to get your free trade card. Got it?
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Paul Weller is back with A Kind Revolution. Mojo magazine says it's an album that ranks among his finest work, including the single Long, Long Road. Paul Weller, A Kind Revolution, out now.
Mark's winning sweet potato fritters.
Me and Dad have always watched the footy together, usually with a bag of chips. But today, I'm bringing on a substitute. Something a little less chip-like. Sweet potato and carrot fritters with a tzatziki dip. Dad reckons they're pretty good. Oh, unlike our lot.
Find Mark's winning sweet potato fritters recipe online or in store. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M49 heading southbound through Bristol is currently closed with very slow traffic, all due to a shed load between the M4 junction at 22 and the M5 for the A4. The M4 is also closed, well, one lane closed rather, having a broken down vehicle between junction 14 for Hungerford through towards 15 for Swindon East. Traffic reported there to be coping fairly well. The M5 heading northbound also seeing one lane closed there due to an accident between junction 5 for Droitwich through towards junction 4A for the M42. It's all happened in the roadworks area. I'm Andy Broxton.
Here's your chance to become truly epic! With not one, not two, but a squadron, a swarm, a hurricane, a meteor shower, a galaxy, a universe of epic discounts! Visit Money Supermarket right now and you could save up to £275 on your car insurance. You're so Money Supermarket! 51% of customers saved up to £275 on their car insurance based on consumer intelligence data December 2016.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio.
Join me from 4 o'clock today for another packed Live at Drive. I'll be joined by the fantastic comedian Glenn Moore, the wonderful writer Andy Dawson, and we'll be playing Back in Time with the brilliant Brexit comedian Jeff Newcomb.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes. On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
So, hello, I am Yasmin, in for John Holmes this afternoon. And I'm joined in the studio now by comedian Steve Bujaya.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for coming in. Let's get the name thing out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way.
Because actually, I'm guessing the title of your show, Unpronounceable.
Yeah, my show's called Unpronounceable because my name is an absolute nightmare to pronounce.
So it's written, Bugeja.
Yeah, that's a good effort.
But that's how it's spelled.
Yeah, you're right. It's spelled Bugeja. It's Bugeja, if you like read it completely phonetically. But that sounds awful.
I'm just not going to say that.
Bugeja. I get Bugeja quite a lot. That's quite a standard one.
Yeah.
But it's actually Bugeja. It's like a soft G.
Oh, that's nice.
And then the J you just ignore.
Where's that from? What's the origin?
It's from Malta.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it.
My grandparents from Malta.
Okay.
So it's... But I really should have got a stage name before I got into showbiz, a more accessible name. I used to call myself Steve Charles because Charles was my middle name. But it sounds awful, doesn't it?
It's too generic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's difficult to find.
I was put off by it because I saw a snooker hall once called Steve Charles Snooker Hall. And I was like, I don't want to be associated with that.
Nobody wants to be called after a snooker hall.
It doesn't really fit my demographic either,
a community centre or something.
Yeah, exactly.
None of these things.
So it's Steve Bouget. I've just had to live with it. This show, I called it Unpronounceable. Then the poster is me holding a picture of how to say the name.
Which
genuinely helps quite a lot. I did it up at the Fringe in Edinburgh in August and it has improved people's pronunciations.
I have spent my life telling people how to say my name.
Yeah.
Because it's Yasmeen.
Yeah. Yasmeen.
Yeah. But I get variously called Jasmine.
Sure.
Yasmin, never call me Yasmin.
Yeah.
Just don't do that.
That must happen loads,
yeah,
though.
It does.
I nearly did it a minute ago. If you said, and then you made it really clear it's Yasmin. And I was like, yeah, I got that. Yeah, yeah.
Double E's. I did once, I think the worst offender was actually me once. Well, it was autocorrect. I used to work in this city and I signed off an email. And email doesn't like my name. So it autocorrected it to about, it was a corporate email. It was going out to the entire company, which was about 10,000 people. It changed it to Gasman.
Gasman.
Yeah.
It's a great nickname though, isn't it?
No. And now I've just told all of you that was a mistake.
Hey, I'm the Gasman.
Yeah.
I like it.
No,
please. It's better actually.
No, it's not.
You should
not.
Change it.
Please not.
Gasman.
Stop it. Why did I talk about this?
Did people stop you in the lift and be like, hey, Gasman?
There was a lot of laughter.
Yeah.
I left shortly after.
That's like a classic corporate joke, isn't it? But that's the sort of corporate joke that people would laugh about for months.
Yeah, like, hey, down the pub. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that time you changed your name to Gasman? Oh, really good one.
The best thing about that is because that was an email to 10,000 people, what you can guarantee is that would be largely ignored.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Then because of that, word would have got around and people would have actually read your email.
It was actually the most effective email ever sent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gasman Khan.
I don't know what Bouger gets autocorrected to, because my phone now has learnt my name, which is good of it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it does get autocorrected.
So tell us about the show.
The show is actually nothing to do with my name. I just called it that because...
Because it's a talking point.
Logistical reasons, yeah. And because I had to name the title before I'd written the show. The show is actually about decision-making. So I'm fascinated with how humans make decisions, because we always use... They always say we use a heart, a head or a heart, to make a decision. And I am a big believer in the head. I think we should follow our head with decision-making.
Is that because the decisions that you've made that follow your heart have been...
I just don't think the heart is trustworthy.
Oh, no.
I don't think the heart knows what it's talking about when it comes to decision making.
Yeah, go on. What happened? There's a story.
Well, the story is...
What's her name? His name?
No, you've got it. You've got it in one. It's a her. Her name is Lindsay. I met a girl and she came close to being my first ever girlfriend. I was very excited. Don't know me. This is my life. And we hit it off. But then she went travelling for 6 months. So I had this decision to make whether to sort of go out there and meet her and try and keep us together, like, which was what my heart wanted to do. But my head was like, it's not going to work. It's too long distance. You've only just met her. You know, logical reasons. And I the whole show is me arguing that the head is correct.
So what happened?
I can't tell you. That's the end of the show.
No,
I can't.
Know.
It's the end of the show. You have to come watch it. It's Soho Theatre on May 29th.
Has he got a wedding ring on?
No wedding ring.
No wedding ring.
No evidence here. No, it's
where
made.
Where did you meet her?
I met her actually at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2015.
Right.
So then this was my show in 2016.
I hear it's a good place to meet people.
Is it? Do people hear that? Not the way I've done it over the years. She's the only one I ever met. I mean, you're there for a month and everyone's got
it's
their own place.
Intense.
It's intense. Everyone's out drinking every night.
Was it your first Edinburgh?
It was my first solo show, but I had been there before.
Right.
And had absolutely no luck whatsoever. Because all my friends do it properly. They go out and they drink and they, you know, kiss
talk
girls.
Talk to people.
Yeah, talk to girls. Whereas I'm just sort of in the corner just waiting for them to talk to me. And Lindsay just came and talked to me. I was like, this is brilliant. I thought you might be the one, and
fact that a woman just comes and talks to you—that's it.
Mad, isn't it? It is mad, actually. It is mad. But we got on really well.
What time is it? Have you got the time? Was it that kind of? Was it? Did she have a
when she approached?
Yeah,
yeah. I remember it was 10:20.
No, not what the actual time was.
What do you mean?
What did she say to you? Was she making an excuse?
Opening line.
Oh, what was her line?
Opening gambit.
I did document the time in my diary.
And we are really getting
She was wearing a black dress with butterflies on it. And no, we got chatting at a pub. It was like she worked for my management company as like an assistant or something. And she was sort of contractually obliged to talk to me. So it was a job. Like, she had to talk to me. So that was why she talked to me. And that was great. That's the best situation for me. If, like, the girl has to. Like, I can say whatever I want and she has to still keep talking.
She's contractually obliged to stay there.
To stay there.
No matter what
nonsense. She can't just turn around and, you know... I mean, she could have gone and talked to another comedian, I guess, but there wasn't many there. So she had to talk to me. And then I was able to... Because she was locked in for a good amount of time, I was able to sort of... convince her,
bore her
that I wasn't
no,
a complete
sorry, win,
weirdo.
Win her round.
I didn't bore her. It was very
you were
charming.
Suave.
Very charming and funny. I told her all that name stuff. Told her about my name.
So someone who is paid to promote your show
and
ended up chatting you up. I'm going to have to irritate you now that somebody who wasn't paid to promote my show came over, chatted me up, and then promoted my show for me.
Oh, that's the better way around.
That is the better way around.
Financially, that's really astute.
Oh, he was... he stood in on a table in a cafe that was packed with festival goers.
Right.
Grabbed my flyers off me and started telling everyone why they should come to the show.
That is some aggressive flirting.
Yeah, it was. That was
did it work? Are you with him now?
No.
Oh.
It was just a story.
Oh, okay. Right. Was it the Edinburgh Fringe?
Yes.
Which cafe was it?
I can't remember the name.
Get really specific.
Yes. It was a cafe at the top of the hill. There you go.
Yeah. Well, we met the Holyrood pub at the bottom of the Pleasance Hill. Yeah. Very random.
What do you reckon? Are they still together, Cornelius?
Don't give away the end of the show. La la la. You've got to come watch it.
I couldn't say either way.
Yeah. See, political editor, Cornelius.
Yeah, I'm the
that's neutral. Yes, to stay.
Yeah, that's a good political answer.
Yeah. To stay really neutral.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to wait till the manifesto gets released and I'll give all the details of the policy.
So, have you been touring the show?
Yes. So, this is the final show, final time I do it in Soho. So, yeah, I've been doing it around the country, been to various places.
And you're on telly and all sorts.
Yeah, I've done a bit of TV.
Yeah.
And I've just come back from Melbourne, been at the Melbourne Comedy Festival in Australia.
Because I know a lot of comics here and they do various stuff around the country and some of them go off to do like Montreal, which is a massive comedy festival.
In Canada, yeah.
And Melbourne. How does it compare? How do the crowds compare?
You know what?
Do you have to tweak your material?
A little bit. So like certain references don't land in Australia. They just don't know what the stuff is.
Like what?
I can't think of what, but that you just like certain. So I've got a joke about minstrels, like the chocolate snack, and I did it the first two nights. And I was like, "Why are they not laughing?" And they just don't. They just don't have minstrels out there. And I was like, "All right, that makes sense." It's a great joke though, if you know what minstrels are. But they're pretty much the same. It's a festival crowd, so they're all quite middle class. It's very much like the Fringe, Edinburgh Fringe, but in Melbourne, they're a very similar kind of sort of Guardian reading liberal audience. And very nice. It's just sunnier. That's the difference.
It's just warm.
Yeah.
But when you tour around the UK, do you find, because people always say, or certain towns, that it's, you know, when you do, whether it's a music gig or comedy, that actually the crowds are quite different. And people will all, I don't know if it's just PR stuff, but they'll always say like, oh, Glaswegian crowds are amazing, Mancunian crowds are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
London takes a while to warm up, but they're really good.
Yeah.
But, so it always,
no, that's pretty much all the stereotypes are true, I find. Like, I try not to stereotype, but when they, they're all true. Like I used to live in Manchester, so I started out gigging in Manchester really. So that was where I learned how to do stand-up and still learning. And I find Manchester crowds are friendlier on the whole, like from the off. They give you much more leeway. They want you to be funnier, whereas London are kind of like, you better be funny. And
they're
then when you are funny, they'll be
on.
Nice. But you have to win them over. You have to prove, because they see so much stuff in London. They're not impressed that you're a snack. Whereas in Manchester, it's kind of like, oh, cool, this guy wants to make us laugh. Whereas Liverpool is the opposite, though. Somehow Liverpool have the attitude of, we're funnier than you. And unless you're a Scouse yourself, I find it quite hard.
They'd
Liverpool.
Be more welcoming to a Scouse comic.
Yeah. Like if you're John Bishop, they love it. But if you're not John Bishop and you're from London, if they get a smell of that, then they're not having it. So I don't. I mean, Liverpool's nice. But having said that, when they love you, they love you.
Yeah.
So, it works both ways. But yeah, Glasgow's great. All the big kind of cities are really the place. But when you go to small little towns in like Yorkshire or something, they're the most
easy.
Fun. They're the
easy.
No. They're the most fun. They're the best gigs because they're really appreciative.
Yeah.
That you bothered to find their place. And it's just like in a little art centre, really small, and everyone knows each other.
The Steve Bajaya Art Centre.
I've built it. It's a
Steve
tent.
Charles.
Yeah, Steve Charles Snooker Hall. They're the nicest gigs I find. I'm doing some gigs this weekend in Ayrton, which is a really small village.
I don't even know where that is.
In Scotland, near Berwick-upon-Tweed, just over the border. And this pub just brings comedians up and they sell it out with all the locals and they just give you beer and stuff.
Sometimes the local comedy clubs are the really nice ones because they make that much effort, don't they? Because it's like they're not, they have to sustain building up an audience, getting the comics in.
The best crowds are the regular ones, like the ones who go to comedy all the time and they get it. They understand how it works. And they're like a team. It's like a team welcoming a guest, and they're the nicest crowds. The ones that are new clubs and they've no idea what comedy is, and they're just looking at you going, why are you talking to us? Oh, sorry, I'll leave Liverpool.
We love Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Say that in. Soho Theatre.
Soho Theatre, May 29th. Yeah.
May 29th.
And Monday night. It's the bank holiday Monday.
Oh, it's bank holiday. Yeah. Oh, that can go either way, can't
it? Well, I'm a bit worried about it. 7:30 p.m. So I feel like people who've left town for the weekend will be back by then.
Mm.
And they might be so bored of their families that they want to go out and watch some comedy. So do come. But also, hopefully people... They might be drinking all day, though. That's the danger. And most people are drunk.
Well, they might
people.
Be sort of... It's Monday, so they know they've got to go to work on Tuesday. They might be mildly
tipsy.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, that'd be good.
For comedy.
That'd be great for comedy. Yeah.
And is it like a 1 hour?
Yeah, just an hour show.
I like that. Anything longer and it's
too much, isn't it?
Mate, stop talking.
I don't want to bore people. Yeah. It's actually 55.
Yeah, so it's an Edinburgh hour.
Yeah, it's an Edinburgh hour. It'll be lovely. That downstairs room in the Soho Theatre is really nice as well, so I'm looking forward to it.
And then, if people want to find out more, tweet you and all this, you better spell your name properly.
Yeah, good luck spelling my name, guys. Bugeja, B-U-G-E-J-A, Bugeja. Just remember Bugeja.
I feel
or
my
Budgerigar.
Hand is
Budgerigar, as I had recently. Steve Budgerigar, welcome to the stage.
And you need to go because you need to find out whether or not... Oh, I reckon they're not together. Everyone loves...
I mean, that's upsetting that you that you just assumed... No, I reckon she ditched him. I've chatted to him now for 10 minutes and I reckon he definitely hasn't got a shot.
Yeah, but if she did, you could be like the Adele of comedy. I mean, how many albums has she got out of being dumped?
They do call me the Adele of comedy. It's for so many reasons.
Mainly because she's got one name and it's easy to spell.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks very much for having me, Yasmin.
Not Jasmine. Never Jasmine. Steve Bugeja, sort of like Budgerigar.
Sort of.
He's going to be at the Soho Theatre on Bank Holiday Monday on the 29th of May. Go and see him. It's Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes. It's Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandates, the mother of all radio stations.
I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what's going on?
Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
Clive, Winston Wolf, whale music? You must be one stressed out private landlord.
Yes, I am.
Your tenants are struggling financially and can't pay their rent. But you're with Direct Line. They'll repay any unpaid rent until your tenants are out. So drop the stress ball. It'll all be over soon. Ah, that's better.
Claim back unpaid rent after 1 month's arrears with rent guarantee. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Landlord. Cover purchase as part of legal expenses add-on. Qualifying criteria apply. Restricted claims for existing tenants in the first 90 days when product first purchased.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind. To finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower, he's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
You know your Baroque from your rock, from your contemporary jazz, from your German underground progressive minimal techno. But do you know your pension options? PensionWise is a service set up by the government to provide free, impartial guidance about your pension pot. If you're over 50, call 0800 138 1888 to book your free telephone or face-to-face appointment. PensionWise. Get to know your options.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
So I am in for John Holmes this afternoon, right the way through to 4 o'clock. And coming up, we're going to be talking sheds, because they're not just a place to keep your tools anymore. Why are sheds becoming the most amazing outhouses? What kind of things are people putting in them? We're going to talk to our very own Martin Roberts coming up after the news. But first of all, Victoria Bourne has the latest headlines.
Thanks, Yasmin. Coming up, couple jailed over baby death, Rolf to be released, and tributes to Chris Cornell.
Talk Radio.
The Prime Minister's launched the Conservatives' manifesto, and high on the agenda is social care. Theresa May says they'll pay for it by using cash currently spent on winter fuel payments for wealthy pensioners. For the first time, those looked after in their own homes will have the value of their property included in their assets. Here's Labour's campaign manager Ian Lavery.
We'll invest £8 billion over the next Parliament, over the next 5 years, with an injection immediately of £1 billion. Addressing fixing the problems that have been created by a Tory party in the past 4 or 5 years.
A couple have been jailed for 11 years for torturing their four-month-old baby to death. Drug addicts Jeffrey Wiltshire and Rosalind Baker tried to cover up how Imani died last September by pretending she became ill on a bus in East London. A court's heard Rolf Harris will be released from prison tomorrow. From next week, the 87-year-old will appear in person at London's Southwark Crown Court. The former entertainer denies four historical charges of indecent assault. Experts say government guidelines telling women not to drink during pregnancy are causing needless anxiety and alarm. The British Pregnancy Advisory Service says mums-to-be can be trusted to make their own informed choices. GP Dr. Ellie Cannon has told Talk Radio they're giving advice as best they can.
There isn't actually a perfect rule for alcohol in pregnancy. Women have to know that a huge amount is too much. And they have to know that having none at all obviously is 100% safe. But as far as what happens in the middle, in all honesty, we can't actually tell you.
And Sir Elton John is among those to pay tribute to the rock star Chris Cornell, who's died at the age of 52. He's described the Soundgarden and Audioslave frontman as a great singer, songwriter and the loveliest man. Detroit police say they're investigating his death after a gig last night as a possible suicide.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunshine and showers for many this afternoon, with a risk of thunder for some. Cloudier in the southeast of England with rain later on. Highs of 18 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Swansea boss Paul Clement has confirmed he'll speak to John Terry about a possible move, with the defender's contract running out at Chelsea. The former England captain will leave the Premier League champions in the summer. He hasn't ruled out retiring. Clement worked with Terry during his time coaching at Stamford Bridge.
I will have a conversation with him because, you know, I've known him a long time, and I will do that, but I don't know what his thinking is, whether he's going to carry on, first of all.
Tottenham, who were already guaranteed second place in the Premier League, go to last season's champions Leicester tonight in their penultimate game of the season. Victory for Spurs will take them to 83 points, two more than last year's league winners managed to accumulate. The Sky Bet League Two playoff finalists will be determined this evening. Blackpool take a 3-2 lead to Luton for their second leg of the semi-final tie. It's 3-3 between Exeter and Carlisle. Finally, Britain's Johanna Konta lost the first set to Venus Williams 6-1 in their Italian Open last 16 tie. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Turn up the trouble on the radio show that doesn't take itself too seriously. Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Oh, good afternoon. If you're listening, hello, it is Yasmin Khan on Talk Radio, in for John Holmes, who he's not pulling a sickie, Cass. He's not very well. He's probably pulling a sickie. In just a moment, we're going to be speaking into Talk Radio's very own Martin Roberts and his thoughts on the shed of the year. We'll also be getting an update from the campaign trail as we follow the leader. Because we do politics, don't we, on this show?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, political editor Cornelius is here. We'll also be borrowing work experience reviews from John's regular show. That is a feature, what they do. Sophie will be in to give us an update on the week's tech news. And, of course, you're more than welcome to get in touch with the show. Cornelius, somebody called Dave has been in touch with the show.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
No, what's he said?
He says, can we just give Yasmin 15 minutes of going over bad dates with the blind date theme as a bed? Feature idea there from the listeners.
Yeah, cool, if you want. Yeah, I'll get that.
We'll sort that out. To be fair, I could probably film more than 15 minutes, and that would just make me cry. Look, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can ring us on 0344 499 1000. I mean, come on, who wants to be told that their friend is better looking than them?
I know, that sounds pretty awful.
It was harsh.
That guy sounds like a weapon.
He was, yeah, he really was. If you want to text us, you can do your thing, Cornelius. Text the word.
Oh, no, you say.
Text the word us. You can text us. This is going well.
And then to the number.
To 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Oh, look. Or you can phone us. You don't have a thing.
I don't have a catchphrase for that one.
What kind of show is this? 0344 499 1000. Standard network charges apply. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
Start your message with the word talk.
Woo!
Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So it is Yasmin here with you this afternoon in for John Holmes. And I'd like to think that, you know, as you noted, Cornelius, you think I don't have seats in my house.
No, so because you go and sit outside on the curb.
Yeah.
Which is the closest thing you have a seat
to in. Outdoor space.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I had a garden, I would definitely have a shed.
Definitely.
Definitely. I would love a shed because, again, space being what it is, I would want a shed. I've just been doing a massive clear out this week and it's finally coming to an end. It's taken me weeks and I've got so much nonsense. But I now have learnt my lesson that if I had a shed, I would actually use it for something else rather than just for keeping rubbish in. But did you know that shed of the year is a thing?
I didn't know.
But it is a thing. Shed of the year. And there's no one that knows more about sheds than our very own Martin Roberts. Hello, Martin.
Hello, darling. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Are you in your shed at the moment?
No. Of course, I broadcast my weekly talk radio from my shed stroke treehouse, which is halfway up the street in the West Country.
Right.
Because I thought it was a show about property, so I want to do it from a treehouse. But effectively, that is an 8x10 shed.
Right.
Just stuck halfway up a laurel tree, which I've kitted out with lots of stuff I've collected from car boot sales for the last 10 years. Lots of dials and widgets and things that go beep and buttons that do nothing. So, you know what it's all about, creating a space that's your space that you can do what you want with. And whereas you might not do something outlandish in your living room or your kitchen or your dining room, when you've got this box, you tend to do more random things. You'll paint the colours strange.
Right.
Yeah. The wall strange colours. You'll stick in strange things. You'll fill it in a really eclectic way, and it becomes a very special space. And that's just if you did it for yourself. Now, these people who are doing the whole shed of the year thing, they're actually taking it to the next level, and they're doing, you know, jacuzzis up trees. They're doing stuff that looks like stuff out of the Flintstones. I mean, they're being really, really creative about what they're doing.
Yeah, I've got one in front of me where it's basically like a flight simulator. They've done it like the cockpit of an airplane.
Yeah. Well, you know, mine has got the cockpit of a glider in there, so I should have maybe... I've seen some of them that look like beach huts, so they've got sand on the floor. You know, they've painted them in lovely pastel colours. I've seen other ones that look like a big spotty... It was a brilliant one that was being converted, actually, for a place that a dog could live. And it was just like a heaven. It was like a... You know those hamster cages where they've got, like, tubes and stuff? Well, it was the doggy equivalent, with, like, things they could run through and up, and eventually they got to a little beddy area, and there was a, you know, an effigy of a television they could attack, and a neighbour's cat was, you know... It really gets, it's about having a space that you can do what you want with, and it doesn't really matter.
And you being a property expert, obviously you know this kind of thing, that it is a chance to personalise it and do something quite, you know, random if you want, as you say. Like the traditional idea is, oh, it's a man shed, it's a man cave where they go and put all
that.
But it's changed now, hasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the sheds as I saw in the last shed of the year, I think somebody had actually converted it into a sewing and a sort of an arts and crafts room. And again, it's that, you know, all those things which you sort of get out and play with on the kitchen table. And then, you know, like doing jigsaws or if you're doing some sewing or you're making stuff like an Airfix model. And then at the end of the day, you have to pack it all away because you have to cook your tea or you have to, you know, people sit around with it. It's a real pain in the bum, and then you don't do it again because you have to get the whole stuff out. So if you've got a space where you can leave things out, you know, a jigsaw that's half done, or an Airfix model that's half constructed, or a painting that you're half finished, then that's a real joy because it means you'll do it more often because you can just go back to it really easily.
And how much value does it add to you? Are you better off having a bigger garden, or are you better off putting some heavy duty, quite expensive shed in? What's going to add more value?
I don't think they come into the whole thing of adding value to the property. I think they add desirability. As in, if somebody was looking around your house and they saw that there was like a... You know, bear in mind, you know, I'm not talking about something that's necessarily 6x2 feet or, you know, 2 metres by 3 metres. These sheds can be huge. They can be office space. They can be, you know, an actual utility room. Now, if you had something like that, which had maybe electricity to it, which was insulated so you could use it over the winter, then you start getting into the realms of you know, something which could be considered, you know, a work office space.
Yeah.
But most people are going to go down to B&Q or Wicks or, you know, wherever. They're going to buy a larger shed, and probably the biggest one most people buy would be a, you know, 10x8. And they'll put it up, and that's never going to add value. But what it does add is quality of life while you've got it.
Yeah, so it's not, you should, it's like with anything with property, is do it because you want to do it and not because you're always thinking, because if it's your home, people have this obsession of, well, what such and such might happen if we sell it. And that's fine if you are going to sell it. But if it's your home and you're living there for the foreseeable, I always just think, go with whatever you want.
Absolutely. And, you know, and because, you know, it's like these people who put the plastic covers on, you know, on old fashioned, you know, sofas and things. The time they had it is a comfortable thing to sit on just for when they came to sell it. And of course, they never actually sell it. So you've got to make the living space in which you live in really, really, really desirable for yourself. But the other thing is, if you are living in, say, rented accommodation, you might not be able to do what you want to the inside. But if you've got yourself an 8x10 shed in the garden, you can do what the heck you like with it. And that can be as avant-garde, as crazy, as unique, as personalised as you want it to be. So it can give you that little bit of space that can be you space.
Is there anything, because I've got a friend who uses his shed, it's sort of, it's slightly his man shed, but he does music, so he records all his music in there. He's a musician. Is it palaver getting electricity out there? Because he's always complained that it's great, but it's cold.
So when you clearly, if you go and buy, you know, a 200 quid shed, which is just basically a thin bit of wood and you know, a fairly thin roof, then that is not going to be insulated. But it's not that hard to insulate it to a point where it could be usable year round. But that's a slightly bigger job. So is it a faff? It's certainly not going to be something you're going to be able to do in the weekend. But you can buy ready-made outdoor space sheds which are meant for, you know, all year round use, and they'll be made of insulated panels. And then when it comes to electricity, well, you know, you've got to put in an outdoor supply. But for the meantime, you can just run an extension cable across from the, you know, out the kitchen window. You know, and lowest form of technology. Get something in there that will actually work for you. Maybe you only use it once a week. So is it worth going to the trouble? No, just run an extension cable from the house. And you talk about recording studios. I mean, an ideal space for that. One thing they also seem to be, I find, is they've got such a sort of lovely atmosphere to them. You do find you become more creative, perhaps, than if you're sitting in your, you know, your Formica filled kitchen.
Yeah.
You seem to be inspired when you're in that kind of space. I'm not surprised that your friend's got a musician.
Yeah.
You've got a space out there because he's probably writing better music than he would if he was doing it in his kitchen.
There's also something about you can isolate yourself because you, hopefully you've not got junk around you. You've not, you know, all the mess that's normally in the house. But also it's the distractions. Like he doesn't actually have, he's chosen not to have much internet access in there, and there's no telly in there. And it's all those, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to do any work, I will find any reason to just be like, oh no, I'll just put the telly on because I need to know what's happening in the news. Or I'll just phone someone because, you know, I've not spoken to anyone today. Or just literally any excuse. But there's something quite isolating, even if it's only a few feet from the house, about being in a different space.
There's also, I completely agree, a point that if you're working in it, and often people do have these sort of separations, a little bit of an office space, there is something psychological about working in a different space that you have to walk to, because you can walk to it and you can walk away from it. You can close the door on it at the end of the day and it's not infringing on your personal life, so or your partner's personal life.
Yeah.
So you can literally say, I'm going to work today, you walk down the garden, go into your shed, you do your work, and at 5 o'clock you slam the door, you say, right, work done, I'm back home. And, you know, that, interestingly enough, that psychological separation, which sounds a bit like gobbledygook, it does actually work.
I'm just looking at pictures of some of these sheds of, you know, sheds of the year, where they've gone quite creative with it. So there's one that looks like a flight simulator. There's another one, which is quite sweet. It's got a TARDIS, you know, the TARDIS door, the police box door for the front door. And it's got a Cyberman stood outside. So obviously somebody who's a bit of a Doctor Who fan. There's another one that's been done up as like a fire station, like a Trumpton style-y. And that, the other thing is, these are so cute. But obviously if somebody, it's also like a red rag going, come on, there might be something of value in here. Come and break in.
Well, do you think so? I mean, somebody's going to have gone into your back garden for a start. And, you know, I mean, I don't think you're going to be kitting it out with, you know, hyper-expensive hi-fis and things like that. You know, you're never really going to be able to make a shed more than, you know, a casual burger-proof. So the main thing is don't put things of high value in there. But I don't think just because it's painted to look like a, you know, like a Trumpton fire station would make a burger go, whoa.
There might be something in there. I don't know. It's not just painted. Like, they've gone the whole hog. It's got, like, the, you know, fire buckets outside and, like, little toy engines and this.
We're talking about that, of course, for kids. Yeah. You know, and maybe if you've got maybe more than one kid, your house isn't quite big enough. This is a really cheap way to give your kids some space that theirs. You know, that they can have as messy a place as they want, that they can have filled with their toys, or they can have, you know, have their Nintendo or their game box in, you know, where they can really feel like it's their space. And it may well be your house isn't big enough to give them their own room, like a playroom or whatever, but you could build them a shed. And, you know, when they build, it's something you can do in a weekend, and suddenly they've got a space which is their own.
Yeah.
And I think that's really special.
I love the idea of it. If only I had a garden. Martin, thank you. You're on Saturdays, aren't you, here on Talk Radio?
Yeah, it's Saturdays from 11 till 1, every Saturday on Talk Radio.
And we will be listening in. Thank you, our very own Martin Roberts. Do you know he's from off of the I'm a Celebrity corner?
Yeah, he was at the Jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
There were no sheds there. Oh, no, they do talk to the camera in a shed.
Yeah, yeah, it's like their diary room, isn't it? Yeah.
I bet you've got a shed, because you're...
I don't know, I have a balcony, so...
No, but like at your mum and dad's.
Oh, yeah, they have a shed. They've got a fairly new shed.
Is it quite posh?
Not really. It's just it's a new shed and it looks nice. It's got like a glass door, but in it is just a mess.
Yeah, my mum's just recently got a shed and she wanted it to be something nice and she's just put nonsense in it.
Well, I think that makes sense. I don't know where all these people have won.
I mean,
shed
look at that. That
year.
Actually does. Yeah. I'm showing you a picture of one that is done out like a cockpit.
Yeah, I mean that's great, but where do they keep their lawnmower?
And you know,
surely you need another shed.
For your strimmer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But back to the... Oh, is that meant to be a cinema? They've done it like Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, that's clever.
Oh, that's clever. I don't understand this one, I'll be honest. You might be able to make head on to it. It looks like it's basically a... Is that a vicar? Is it meant to be a church?
I think the one at the... I think that might be two different ones.
No, the one at the bottom.
The one at the bottom does look like a little mini chapel.
Well, it's...
Lots of people do micro pubs in sheds, don't they?
That's
in their garden.
Brew their own beer and all
that. Yeah, yeah. I don't really get it, to be honest, because I think you may as well just make one of your rooms in your house really,
into that.
Yeah,
yeah, because, but if you haven't got the space.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, it saves having to walk through the garden.
Yeah. I knew someone who kept their granny, that sounds awful, in a shed. And they called it the Granex. It's that sort of thing.
That's
yeah,
good.
She kind of, it was more than a shed. And she, yeah, she lived there. It's Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes. Traffic and travel and weather and various stuff coming up. And after that, we'll be looking at technology and politics.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Countdown to the election on Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Now the latest traffic news. There are widespread reports of camels, yes, camels, on roads right across the region. But no hold-ups. Once those camels fill up, they keep going. Like when you fill up with BP Ultimate with active technology. It removes dirt to help your engine perform at its best, so you can keep moving. And finally, reports of more camels on the ring road. Keep moving with BP Ultimate. Green lights all the way.
Benefits achieved over time and may vary due to factors including vehicle type, condition and driving style. See bp.com/ultimate.
Without preparation, there is no performance.
Well, here we go.
Without support, there is no strength.
Sensational power there.
And without battle,
ooh, that's a big hit.
There is no victory.
And he's over in the corner.
The Aviva Premiership Rugby Final, Saturday the 27th of May, Twickenham. Glory awaits. Be there. premiershiprugby.com/final.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M1 heading northbound's got one lane closed and queuing traffic, all due to some emergency repairs which are being carried out around junction 25 for Nottingham. Congestion though back towards junction 23A for the moment. Lane 1 of that three lane stretch is closed. M4 heading westbound through Berkshire, that's also got one lane closed due to a broken down vehicle between junction 14 for Hungerford through towards 15 for Swindon East. Traffic though coping well. And the M5 heading northbound's got one lane closed due to an accident between junction 5 for Droitwich through towards junction 4A for the M42. I'm Andy Broxton.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Get turned on to all killer, no filler conversation. Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So good afternoon, welcome along. If you have just joined us, yes, it's Yasmin here with you, normally off Friday drive, which I will be tomorrow, but in today for John Holmes, who's not very well, so get well soon, my dear. So we are now 21 days away from the general election on the 8th of June, and the party leaders are busy running around the country in search of photo opportunities and votes. And the good news is that Talk Radio is the place to keep up to date as to where they are and what they are doing. From placards to press gaffes, we'll keep you up to date as we follow the leaders.
Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow me. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader.
So Theresa May is spending her day in West Yorkshire at the official launch of the Conservative Party manifesto. She has said that she's prepared to make tough choices.
I will be straight with people. I won't shy away from facing the challenges of our time. Rather, I will set out how we will tackle them head on. Because that is what leadership is about.
Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn will be visiting Southall in West London today. He's been saying that spending increases detailed in his manifesto will all be paid for.
What you'll hear about is our plans for an economy that works for all, an economy that invests for the future. And you'll hear a number of plans for health, for education, for housing, and for industrial development strategy, all of which are carefully worked out and fully costed.
Corbyn and some buses there, I think. Tim Farron is not flying far from his nest today as he is campaigning in his constituency of Kendal. He thinks people should be given another chance to vote on Brexit.
You should have the say over whether Theresa May's Brexit deal is right for you, right for your family, in a referendum. And if you do not like that deal, you should have the choice to remain in the European Union. Yeah!
Nicola Sturgeon is not campaigning today as she has First Minister's questions in Holyrood. She's been saying that Scotland's voice needs to be heard in Parliament.
Look, I'm simply making a point here that this is a Westminster election that will elect MPs to the House of Commons, and we need to make sure that Scotland's voice is heard and that Scotland's interests are protected.
And finally, Paul Nuttall will be heading to Salford for this evening's ITV Leaders Debate. He's been setting out his foreign policy.
You know, I'm not a pacifist in any way, shape or form, but I would only ever call for British soldiers or the British Armed Forces to get involved overseas if it was truly in the British national interest.
And we will have another update for you tomorrow as we follow the leader.
Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. And freeze!
Oh, it's nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Do you put that together?
Yeah, basically. Basically, the reason we do that is we just like the song.
It is. Who is that? That's so old.
It's the Soccer Boys. C-O-S-O-C-A. The Soccer Boys with Follow the Leader.
Follow the Leader. I was trying to think, was it like Chakademus and Pliers was the only name I was getting in my head. It's not Chakademus and Pliers.
No, it's a big tune, though.
It's a big tune. It's Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes today. Is it weird?
What's weird?
Well, it's different, isn't it, today?
Well, it's been different all week so
far.
Yeah,
because you've had Jake
so,
in.
Yeah, and then Bob Mills then was Bob. In yesterday. But it's it's nice to have a lady sitting opposite
a
me.
A lady?
In the studio. I think maybe for the first time on this one.
Well, it's the first time I've covered John. Mm. So, it's great. It's a very nice show. It's very different to Friday Drive, obviously. Different all around. And apparently, Cass has been saying that my awful dating stories have been going down quite well.
Yeah, we're getting the texts and the tweets in saying, give us more of these. We want to hear about your sad, sad life. I think it isn't a direct quote, but that's sort of them amalgamated.
It feels like a direct quote. So you had the one about the guy in Dubai. These are all, I hasten to add, from several years ago. So if there's anyone listening, these are not anyone identifiable, like, kind of right now. I mean, they've all probably moved on, right?
You say that as if they've all passed away.
No, I mean... Yeah, as in someone's listening thinking...
You killed them.
Yeah. Someone did once say to me, do you use these just for content to talk about on the radio? I was like, God, no, absolutely not. How do you spell your name again? Yeah. So there was a gentleman that I was in conversation with once.
Excellent.
And this was after the Dubai incident where the guy gets his flashlight out to look at the receipt from the bar to see exactly how much my Diet Coke had cost. This gentleman was he basically hated everything about me. So he knew that I was from off of up north. He knew that I lived in I was a Londoner for a long time as well. He knew that I worked in the media, and he came to meet me knowing all of these things, and then said to my face quite how much he hated all of these things.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I sat there and I was like, you know, then it just becomes like a social experiment. You're like, how far is this?
Do you think he was flirting though?
I think,
because that might have been a bit playful.
No, it wasn't, because there've been times when you know you can take the mickey with somebody or they're having fun with you. This was just kind of quite abusive to my face. Saying, yeah, and I'd been quite cagey about what I do, just because, you know, you don't want to give everything away and then people look you up, and then it's a bit more like, oh no, I've just thought of another one. These are bad. So many of these. There was one guy who had he'd not gone so far as to print out my CV, but he started quoting bits of my CV back at me, which you would only known if you had Googled me. And he's like, oh, and I see in 2004, I know you made a program about whatever it was I made in 2004. And then he said, oh, and you're going off to Edinburgh to do a sketch show. I was like, and then he comes in with I've always wanted to be a comedy writer. Maybe you could. And I was like,
So it was more a networking event for him rather than a date.
Yeah, he basically wanted me to help him. Mm. But anyway, back to this man who hated everything about me, all the facets of my life, like being northern, living in London, all of these things. But the one thing that really needled him was, he said, oh, you work in the media? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he goes, well, what does that even mean? And I said, well, you know, it's work. We can talk more about it if you really want, but let's, you know, what do you do? And we talked about him, and he was really boring. But I sat and listened and nodded at all the right points and everything. And he said, so this media thing you do, then, he goes, because I find people who work in the media talk a lot but don't actually say anything of any substance. I was like, right, okay. It's a more kind of flirting thing that I'm not used to or whatever. And then he pushed me and pushed me as to what I do. And I think actually I'd got so fed up of people looking me up, this was a few years ago, that as much as I say my name is Yasmin, I'd let it slip and just said Yasmin, because it makes you harder to find.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and he hadn't looked me up. So he's pushing me, what do you do? And eventually I said, okay, well, you know, I do writing and I do a bit of performing, but yeah, I do radio stuff. And he said, well, what do you do on radio? And I was like, oh, you know, just stuff. Didn't want to sound like a big head and go into it and all of this. He goes, and he comes out with his killer line. He's like, yeah, well, I was on Five Live once as a guest. And I was like, that's great. He goes, have you ever been on as a guest? And I was like, how am I now going to say? It didn't go very well, suffice to say. But, you know.
How do you end a date like that?
Really quickly.
Yeah, no, but you just got to go now.
I've had the emergency, like, you know, you'd be amazed how many times, like, my friend's cat has, it's dying. It's an emergency. You've got to go. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What? But how do you make your phone ring?
I've had it in the past where friends have
You set up a phone call as a get out clause. Yeah, that's quite a common thing.
I never talk about this stuff on Drive. I'm in so much trouble. Yeah, no, get out clause, or I think there've been a couple where I've just said, "Do you know what? Thanks for coming and everything, but we've got nothing to say to each other. What else can you do, right, Victoria? You just got to get out."
Yeah, I've ended dates early after always two drinks. I'm never mean enough to leave just after one.
The worst I've done is less than an hour, 50 minutes.
Oh my god!
Because he turned up. No, the worst thing was I'd waited an hour for him, and I would never normally wait that long. But it was a setup. Somebody who knew me had set, so I thought it's rude. And he could have said anything, right? But he turns up and he goes, "Yeah, you're right." And I thought he was going to say, "I got delayed," because it was a working day. I got delayed. You had to stay at work. I'm so sorry. I couldn't call you. Whatever, whatever. He could have said the Northern Line was. He could have said any of these things. Instead, he comes out with, "All right, yeah. I bumped into two girls I know on the way and went for a drink."
That's so rude.
Yeah.
So rude.
Yeah, and I just was like, why am I sitting here?
Yeah.
But my hot chocolate had just arrived and I thought, well, I'm not wasting that. It's good hot chocolate. Yeah, that didn't last either. Enough of these. It's Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes. There will be more stuff, tech reviews and all kinds of things. First of all, Victoria Bourne has the latest headlines.
Talk Radio.
The Prime Minister's revealed the Conservatives' manifesto ahead of the general election.
A manifesto to see us through Brexit and beyond. A plan for a stronger, fairer, more prosperous Britain.
The Tories are promising to deliver a revolution in social care. Theresa May says no one would be forced to sell their homes to pay for their care if their assets are worth less than £100,000. That's more than four times what it is at the moment. The document also pledges tougher visa requirements for foreign students and a review of train ticketing. The body of Moore's murderer Ian Brady has been released to his lawyer. A coroner had refused to allow ashes of the serial killer to be scattered on the moor where he buried his victims. A couple who attempted to cover up the abuse of their baby daughter by staging her death on a bus in East London have been jailed for 11 years. The pair, aged 52 and 25, were trying to conceal the fact they'd tortured the infant at home in September. Donald Trump has seemingly referred to the appointment of a former FBI director to lead an investigation into possible Russian interference into the US presidential election. He's tweeted saying, "This is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history." And players who dive to deceive referees in English football could be punished retrospectively from next season. The FA has introduced a new rule allowing an independent panel to review footage and decide if action should be taken. The weather, sunshine and showers are the risk of thunder for some. Cloudier in the southeast of England with rain later on. Highs of 18 degrees is more in half an hour.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, just because John is away with man flu doesn't mean that we're not going to do all the regular stuff.
Okay.
So bonus news. Look at that face. Come on, Victoria.
It's mineral news, isn't it? It's the worst.
Why is that the worst one?
It's always boring.
It's the listener's favourite.
Yeah.
It also requires the most
effort.
The
amount of tweets we get and letters, people just love
it. No one's ever written a letter to this show.
Literally none.
Exactly. Stop lying.
Why is it the hardest to find?
Because minerals don't do much.
Well, but that's why we value it so much more. So 3:30?
Yeah.
Bonus
news?
The enthusiasm. The enthusiasm.
It'll be great.
Oh, so you're eating there, Con.
Yeah.
Hot food in the studio, which I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
I understand other people do.
Yeah, other people do, other presenters.
Yeah. Not so, John, though.
No, John's fine with it.
Yeah. Who had a go?
It was Julia. She threatened to punch me. I'm not supposed to say it on air.
Oh, awkward. But maybe she just threatened to have a word, is what you meant.
No, punch me in the face,
fine,
she said.
Okay. That's because you were eating hot food. And she's not here now. You can eat it. It's fine. Mm. It is Yasmin in for John Holmes. Sitting in front of me, we have work experience. Worky. Can I call you Worky Sophie?
Yeah, go for it.
Worky Sophie, hello.
Hello.
You've come in to do our tech review.
I have indeed.
Because Cornelius is now just too busy eating his lunch. Mm. So it smells a bit. I will be honest with you, but it's fine because I'm eating really smelly cheese. So
it's better than some things I've seen him eat.
Really?
Mm.
Does he often eat hot, smelly food?
Mm.
He's got shorts on, I've just realised.
I know, legs out.
Yeah.
Brave.
Yeah, because it's not that warm.
No. I'm going for, as Talk Radio's political editor, I'm doing a sort of, you know how Peston doesn't wear a tie?
Ah, right.
This is your thing now.
I dress as if I'm going for a summer's day out.
To be amongst the people.
Yeah, exactly.
amongst the electorate.
Mm.
So, work experience at Techie Sophie. I'm calling you Techie Sophie now.
That's fine.
That's the thing. Yeah. So you're here to review technology.
Yes.
I know, just so we can sort of set the parameters for this, technology and me, we're friends at a distance.
Okay.
At a distance. Yeah. So, that gives you something to go on.
Okay. Well, first up, we have the new HTC phone. They're calling it the squeezy smartphone. So it's got pressure edges, and to take a selfie, you just squeeze it.
I like that.
Mm.
I like that because, again, coordination and I are as much friends as technology and I. So trying to hold it, I'm not much of a selfie taker, but you try and hold it and get your thumb on, and yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
So they've kind of got rid of this problem for you, and it works with a case on, it works if you've got gloves on, and it even works underwater.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If that's your thing.
Does it work with the other camera, so not the selfie camera, the main camera on your phone?
So you point and squeeze?
Yes.
Because basically, I, like every other human in the world, like to secretly take photos of other people on public transport.
You can't do that, and worse still, you should be admitting to it.
Not in a weird way. Just like, for example, there was a man opposite me on the train today wearing a terrible jumper, and he looked like the dullest man ever. He's about my age, about early 20s, and he looked so boring, and his jumper said cocaine and caviar on, like in just big letters, and I was like, that is not good. Anyway, I messaged my friends this, and they said, well, we want a picture, so obviously I had to take a picture of him, but it's really difficult, because you have to pretend you're taking a selfie.
Or like doing your hair in your own phone.
Yeah, and then, bang, just take a photo of him.
Did you have the flash on?
No, but I didn't check that. I didn't check that. It didn't make the noise. But that's definitely a way to get caught out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever caught anyone taking a photo of you?
No.
I think a guy once took a picture of me. I was not happy.
That's creepy.
Yeah. It was more down to vanity. I looked a mess rather than you thinking someone's going to tweet this. Thomas has been in touch on Twitter. He says, your bad dates are simply disasters. I tell them straight, we've got nothing in common, and I can't read the rest of it. But thanks, Thomas. Maybe I just need to do that instead. Who else just tweeted in? Kirk on Twitter says, I wrote a letter in once and John read it out. So you've had at least one letter.
We have had a letter before.
But not about mineral news, he said.
No, I think I remember that letter. It's
framed.
It was about, it's in the office. No, it was telling us that he couldn't get his head around the news.
Oh, I got a fan letter once.
Did you?
Just the one time in 14 years of doing radio. And they wrote to me, and they wrote to me from prison, and he said he'd done, as he quoted, a little bit of fraud, just a little bit of fraud. And he was writing to me, and he said he'd heard me, and I thought, thus far the letter is okay, he's heard me. And then he asked me for someone else's autograph.
Oh no.
I don't know what picture I'm painting of my life this afternoon, but it's not a good one, is it? He was right.
Was it your attractive friend's autograph?
Attractive fellow presenter's autograph. No, it was some film, Bollywood film star, who I would have had no access to, really. But, he just...
Did you do it? Did you sort it out for him?
No. I've kept the letter just because it made me laugh so much.
Have you framed it?
No, maybe I should.
Yeah. At least you read it. Lots of presenters won't read posts.
I only got one. It's the only thing I've... No, wait, I tell a lie. Somebody wrote me a really beautiful handwritten letter because they make an art out of letter writing. And that was really nice. And they weren't asking... She wasn't asking me for anything. She was just writing me a nice letter. Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah. So if you want autographs of famous people, don't come crawling to me. Yeah. So HTC phone, you squeeze it, yeah. It takes a selfie.
Yeah. Quite practical. Perhaps a bit
gimmicky.
Can you
squeeze it all up the sides?
Yeah, it's quite strange. There's a video of it online if you want to.
Surely just when you're holding it, it'll just take a photo of you. Or
that's
do you have
what
to have
I
the camera
thought.
Open?
So if you squeeze it twice, it opens the camera.
Okay.
And then if you squeeze again, it takes a picture.
I was going to say, if you're like stressed in a meeting or something, you're just going to end up taking loads of pictures of up your nose.
Yeah. Or if it's in your pocket.
Yeah.
Accidental squeeze.
Bottom squeeze.
Yeah. Is that a thing? I don't know.
It's good that it doesn't make you, that the squeeze function isn't for dialing, because you know how many people accidentally pocket dial me. Because if your name either starts with an A or towards the end of the alphabet like mine, I get called all the time.
But then you can pretend to sort of hear what they're doing and you can spy on them and they don't know.
Someone at this very station did that to me recently. They didn't realise. True story. Won't say who it is. Right, it is Yasmin here with the In for John Holmes. More technology stories with Sophie coming up right after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great, but only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Paul Weller is back with A Kind Revolution. Mojo magazine says it's an album that ranks among his finest work, including the single Long, Long Road. When the road is rough, gotta pull together. Paul Weller, A Kind Revolution, out now.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status, £20 setup, Sky Q loaned at no cost, minimum contract and terms apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M1 heading northbound's got one lane closed and queuing traffic all due to emergency repairs for Brian Clough Way. That's junction 25 for Nottingham. Congestion, though, stretching right the way back towards 23A for the M42, whilst lane 1 of the 3-lane stretch is out of action. M5 heading northbound's also got one lane closed due to an accident this time between junction 5 for Droitwich through towards 4A for the M42. Happened within the roadworks area as well, but traffic coping well. And the M27 heading eastbound, broken down vehicle there at junction 10 for Wickham. It's on the hard shoulder and traffic coping well. I'm Andy Broxton.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio.
Join me from 4 o'clock today for another packed Live at Drive. I'll be joined by the fantastic comedian Glenn Moore, the wonderful writer Andy Dawson, and we'll be playing Back in Time with the brilliant Brexit comedian Jeff Newcomb.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. 100% hard talk. Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Simon has texted. He's using technology, see. This is how friendly I am, Sophie, with technology. So he's talking about the guy that wrote to me asking me for an autograph. He was in prison for, as he called it, a little bit of fraud. He said if he may have been... Oh, I never thought of this, see, Simon. Clever. He may have been asking for the autograph so he could fraud the person.
Whoa. Mind blown.
Criminal fraternity at work here, Simon. That would never have entered my head.
Luckily, you didn't do it.
No, but it wasn't my autograph, remember. It was of some famous person.
Still, you could have been involved.
Yeah, and then I would have been an accessory or something. Yeah,
I guess so.
Thanks, Simon. I'll look out for that next time one of my, quote, fans writes in. So we've had so far from work experience Sophie, who's just finished her exams.
I have.
She's not a student anymore.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, I know. Miss those days. Well, well done you.
Thank you very much.
So we've had the HTC phone.
We have.
You squeeze to take a selfie. Mm-hmm.
Squeezy
nice.
Phone.
Squeezy
yes.
phone. Yeah.
Next up, we have Soundwave tattoos. Now, this is a new thing where you can get up to a minute of audio inked onto your skin in the sound waves. And
right.
then...
oh, as in the fire where you can see the wobbly line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get a little app and then you hold the app over your tattoo.
Right.
And then the app plays whatever audio you've chosen.
Why would you want... it's kind of really... It's... novelty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the app's called Skin Motion, and they're marketing themselves as a brand new way to express yourself using art and technology.
I don't want to do them down, but this sounds like it's been set up by Julian and his mate Tarquin with some money from both of their dads.
He's called Nate.
Yes.
Can't remember his surname,
See?
But his first name is Nate. And it's officially launching in June, but you can pre-order your Soundwave tattoos if you're keen.
Right.
But yeah, people have got... So there's an example on their website, which is a woman's dog barking.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'd want that.
I mean, not personally, but...
But you see, the problem with any kind of ink is obviously if you do something and it's in a foreign language, or we all know... Or you get the holiday tattoo where they're like, oh, this is in Sanskrit and it means something really deep. It's about the beauty of one's soul and forgiveness and togetherness and how I am earth and earth is me. And when you're away or you're somewhere foreign and you're in that frame of mind, you think that's beautiful. Mm. I'm going to take that home.
Absolutely.
I'm going to carry a little bit of this with me every day and I'm going to be a different person when I'm back at work. I'm going to feel that the earth is me and I am the earth. I'm going to feel beautiful. And then you get home and after about 6 weeks... Someone on the bus taps you on the shoulder and says, why does it say number 32 with extra fried rice on your shoulder? Because someone's just ripped you off for having a tattoo in a foreign language and made fun of you. The same thing could happen with a sound wave. There you are thinking, oh, I'm going to have a little bit from something beautiful like Martin Luther King's speech or what have you. But how do you know until you play it? And by then it's too late.
Exactly.
It's there.
You can't change a sound wave.
No.
You could cover it up, I suppose, with... another sound wave.
And does it work as in you've got to have the app for it to
so what if you get a new phone, what if the app doesn't update,
what if other people's apps start playing your sound wave and it's the wrong one, so instead of it being a beautiful Martin Luther King or something like that inspiring, it's just someone shouting get off my land or whatever.
I mean, I suppose it could be very sort of revealing if someone just randomly on a bus hovers their phone over your arm and they find out something about you.
It's bad enough taking a secret selfie. Imagine people like Cornelius. They're gonna be...
Then the whole bus knows what your secret sound wave tattoo is.
I don't think I would do that. I'm pretty confident in myself that I would not do that.
Yeah, but I'm sure if we'd asked you a few years back, you'd be like, I would never take a secret photo of a stranger on a bus.
No, I would always do that.
So, okay, so a sound wave thing. I've got to be honest, Soph, I'm not, no.
I'm not keen.
No.
But quite a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Mm. So each to their own,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Just be careful that the sound wave is saying what they've told you it's saying.
Mm. Yeah.
So many people have made that error with the ink.
Up to a minute as well.
Up to a whole minute of someone shouting, get off my land.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have to go right down your arm, that tattoo.
This, as a sound wave.
Yeah.
For a minute. Unless it's on a loop.
Yeah. It's bizarre, but there you go.
Each their own.
Exactly. Next, this was released, or not released, what's the word?
Dropped.
Announced, yeah. Dropped is
down with the kids.
Far better.
Yeah.
I was going to say announced.
I like that. Yeah. Because you're posh.
Yeah. Google announced at their annual conference yesterday that they have this new app called Google Lens, which is coming out in the next year or so. And you basically, again, you hover it, the camera over anything, and it can tell you what it is. So, for example, you could hover over a flower and it'll tell you what species of flower that is.
Right.
Which is pretty incredible.
So it's like Shazam for wildlife.
A bit, but it's not just wildlife.
It's anything.
Yeah, so for example, you could point at the sticker of the at the back of your Wi-Fi router and it will be like, oh, that's a Wi-Fi password, and then it'll connect you to that router and off you go.
Oh.
So it's quite clever.
So what? I wonder what the limitations are. Could I have held it at one of my terrible dates and it would have gone, this is a terrible date, just leave?
Perhaps that's the future of this app. It does it for restaurants, so you can point it at a restaurant and it'll give you an instant review or the menu. Which is
that's good. Almost I like the same. That. So if you're checking that, you know, has it got whatever it is you fancy eating or gluten-free or whatever?
If you're just walking around and you're like, oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. And you can scan menus, or like if it's in a different language, it can translate it. So it's kind of a very interesting, useful app that's becoming alive.
And does it... So it's, you know, when you like ask Google or ask whatever that Amazon Echo Dot thing is, it talks back to you, or it'll just bring up the stuff.
It'll just connect to the internet and it'll give you the whatever it is rather than talk to you.
See, I do like technology, but it's this kind of thing slightly makes me frightened, because I've noticed that when I'm just talking to someone like at home in my living room where I don't have any seats, as we've established,
no
outside on the couch, and my phone's just sitting next to me on the sofa, the little thing on it, the Google thing on it, will suddenly, it will activate because it thinks I'm asking it to find something.
Ooh. But don't you have to say, okay, Google?
No.
It just does it.
It's just started doing it.
Ooh, I don't like that.
No. So it starts looking up. So the other day, I think I must have been talking to my brother or something, and I said, okay, well, I'll phone Mum. And my Google thing started going, phone Mum, you know, and looking up links for phone Mum. And it's just like, you've got to be careful.
That's scary. It's listening all the time.
Not that I was, but especially if you're up to no good. Because your search history will suddenly become, you see.
That's very concerning.
Yeah.
Also, it stops you thinking as well.
Yeah,
it
does.
That's my issue with this app, is it's just going to stop people from
thinking. But this is my whole issue with technology. I can't help it. As a writer, you know, I engage with ideas, I think about people, and the basic level of people just don't know grammar and spelling anymore. It drives me nuts. And that's because technology does it all for you.
But then it does it very wrong, often, which is a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. And then you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like when it auto-corrects your name to Gas Man.
Yeah. I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, not good. So we've had a phone that you can squeeze and it'll take a selfie. Mm-hmm. We've had a tattoo that will play, you point an app at it and it will play a waveform. It will play whatever the sound is. And now a Google thing that you point at something and it will tell you what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Next.
Uh-huh, more. She's got more.
We've got loads.
This is great.
If we've got time, we've got plenty more. So Japan has taken a step further to creating its dream of launching flying cars in time for the 2020 Olympic Games.
I love it.
So Toyota have invested and they are hoping to have a prototype by the end of next year.
Right.
For a flying car.
For a flying car. Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's going to be going up to 62 miles an hour in the air, and 93...
What's it run off?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Oh. I imagine it's electric.
Yeah.
But it only goes 93 miles an hour on the road. So, that's enough.
That's still enough.
But it's cool. It's quite big. It's quite tall. It's got 3 wheels and 4 sets of propellers.
Wow.
Yeah.
How far can it go? I'm guessing battery life is fairly limited for something that goes 70 miles an hour in the air.
I mean, they're not quite sure yet. They have quite a lot of issues still. They have
Do you
to
think?
Sort of iron,
I mean,
out.
If we have issues with, you know, consumer drones, you know, ones that you and I can just buy, they're bad enough. Let alone
a whole car,
a flying
for
car.
Two people.
I hate those drone things. Sorry, just to rant on. One of my neighbours got one for Christmas last year, and I was just watching him. It was like an overgrown schoolboy, and it got stuck in the tree, and then he's poking at it with a stick, and it fell down onto one of the cars. I was not happy. Not my car, luckily. Just missed it, but...
They're quite fragile.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Didn't it? Yeah.
Oh, did it break? Shame.
They're also very loud.
They are, but also living in a very residential area in a dead end street, when this thing is flying around and it flies up to your living room window, you're like, hang on, hello, no, off with you.
I think that's illegal now.
Yeah, well, he clearly hadn't got the memo.
Yeah. New laws, really.
New laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
But yeah, so they're having noise issues and weather conditions and safety concerns are key issues they're looking into.
Right.
As you can imagine.
In the flying
car. If it's windy,
So is this a prototype, or are they?
Yes, so they haven't actually created it yet, but they're hoping, this is the end goal, which I love. They want to launch the prototype for the Tokyo Games so that it can light the Olympic flame.
Oh, that, I like that. They have an aim. They have a goal in mind. I like that. Flying cars. What else you got? This is great.
What else have we got? We have... Ah, this is interesting, actually. So Echo Pixel, this is called. It's a new 3D image tool for surgeons.
Right.
So they scan a patient, and instead of it being just a 3D image on a 2D screen, the surgeons can now wear 3D glasses so that it kind of pops out at them.
That is... That of all the ones you've read out today, all the technology you've reviewed, this sounds amazing.
This is actually useful for life.
Yeah.
So that it helps them prepare for surgery, and they can kind of really get into, because it's the actual patient's sort of 3D body. So they can really get in and see what's going on and prepare for surgery, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it's like going to the cinema if you're a surgeon.
Yeah. And it's much quicker than like anything else that they would have had to have done before, because they can just kind of see what they need to do, go in, do it, done.
I'm guessing this is pretty expensive technology that is only just starting to be used.
It's hopefully going to be in hospitals in Europe this year, but
I'm a scaredy cat of all kinds of surgery stuff and all. I get very scared. I did have to, a few years ago, I've given away too much information. Sorry, guys. But I know a lot of people have had these and then don't talk about them until someone else goes, oh, I've had one of those, a colonoscopy. I mean, it's not fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. If you don't know, look it up. All right, it's a camera that goes somewhere you really don't want cameras to go, because I was having stomach issues. And the worst bit of it was days later when they gave me the results and it was fine. And they said, but Miss Khan, I'm afraid we didn't actually go quite far enough into your colon, so we're going to have to do it again.
No.
It's not what you want to hear. But they kind of put you half out, so you're lying on your side as they do this. And because they want to, what they want to, need to be able to see what they're doing, you see your own colon on a screen.
I have heard that.
It's not great. And I'm very queasy. It's
gross.
It's great. It is gross. But thankfully, you're kind of out of it by the time they've, you know, got somewhere. And they can vary how much of the anaesthetic they give you. And that night, the first time I had it, I was doing a sketch show. And I'd said, oh, look, I've got a really low pain threshold, but can you, you know, but I also have to do a show later. But I didn't manage to get the word show out before, you know, as I was just kind of conking out and I saw my own colon and I went, the in-flight movie's not very good. And the surgeon went, oh, we've got a right comedian here. And I went, well, actually, and then that was it. I was out of it. So if it was 3D, not only could they see the actual picture, but they could see they could model your colon or whatever it is they're operating on, I guess. Wow, that's amazing. Who's pioneered that? Where's it from?
Unknown.
Unknown.
Unknown on my sheet of information.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Work experience, Sophie, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And congratulations on... we haven't graduated quite yet,
haven't been to the ceremony.
Yeah.
But I'm done.
You're done.
So...
If you wanted to... The best thing about this part of your life, I remember this, is... Whether it's school or sixth form, whatever college you go to, is when you put... Do you still use pens in exams? This is how old I am. I'm having to ask you this.
I'm dyslexic, so I type my exams.
So you type. Okay. So either you stop typing or you put your pen down. And I will never forget that feeling of like, I never, ever have to take an exam again. I hate exams. I'm rubbish at them.
Yeah.
So you never have to do that again if you so choose.
I feel so free.
Yeah. Sophie, thank you so much. It is Yasmin with you here in for John Holmes. All the regular team are here. They're looking after me very well. We will be back with the final hour of the show right after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Up to the minute breaking news and instant reaction on the radio station that's got everyone talking.
You might very well think that. You know I couldn't possibly comment.
Talk Radio.
Dave, this is not the way to the ground. Please put the sat-nav on.
Sat-nav? I don't need that. I'm a human compass, me.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
David, I don't think this is Wembley, is it?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and accas only. Please bet responsibly.
Paul Weller is back with a kind revolution.
Mojo Magazine says it's an album that ranks among his finest work, including the single Long, Long Road. Paul Weller, A Kind Revolution, out now.
eBay has every kind of car part for everyone, from beginners to the real experts.
Well, that just stopped them squeaking.
Brake pads.
And that's the engine sorted.
Motor oil.
And that's the handling taken care of.
Alloys and tyres.
And that means I've saved myself a few quid.
12-foot snooker table for the spare room. Shop eBay's unbeatable selection of car parts and accessories. The ultimate fix the car like a hero shop.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Right, coming up in the final hour of the show, we're going to have our election spotlight. Cornelius, our political editor, will have done lots more work by then. We'll have bonus news in the form of mineral news from Victoria. We'll be talking about why clothes shops don't sell clothes that you can actually wear. But first, at 3 o'clock, Victoria Bourne has the latest news.
Thanks, Yasmin. Coming up, more election promises. Rolf will be out of prison tomorrow. And Trump's frustrations.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May has said the next 5 years will be among the most challenging of our lifetime as she launched the Tories' election manifesto. She's promising to deliver a revolution in social care and tougher visa requirements for foreign students. While UKIP says it'll get rid of VAT on domestic fuel if it wins next month's election. The party's energy spokesman also says they'd focus on grown-up technology and there'd be no more subsidies for renewable tech. MEP Roger Harmer says families will reap the benefits.
We believe we can confidently and conservatively say that the decisions we propose to make with regard to subsidies and with regard to VAT on domestic fuel will mean a saving for the average family in this country of at least £170 a year.
A drug addict couple have been jailed for 11 years for trying to stage the death of their baby on a bus. The pair planned to get away with abusing Imani, who died in East London last September. The body of Moore's murderer Ian Brady has been released to his lawyer. The 79-year-old serial killer died on Monday at Ashworth High Security Hospital in Merseyside. At a hearing yesterday, his legal representative said there was no likelihood his ashes would be scattered on Saddleworth Moor, which is where the remains of four of his five child victims were found. Sky's Nick Martin has more.
We just had a statement from Sefton Coroner's Office just a few moments ago to say finally a funeral director has been found, the paperwork has been filled out, and Ian Brady's body is to be taken away from police custody.
Rolf Harris will be released from prison tomorrow. The former entertainer is due to appear in person at his indecent assault trial next week, where he denies full charges against him. And Donald Trump is calling the appointment of a former FBI boss to investigate possible links between his campaign team and Russia a witch hunt. He's posted on Twitter to make his views known.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunshine and showers with a risk of thunder for some. Cloudier in the southeast with rain later on. Highs of 18 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Players who dive to deceive referees in English football will be punished retrospectively from next season. The FA's introduced the new rule allowing an independent panel to review footage and decide if action should be taken. Alleged dives will be assessed when they've led to a penalty or a red card. The panel will be made up by one former official, an ex-manager and a retired player. Tottenham, who are already guaranteed second place in the Premier League, go to last season's champions Leicester in this evening's Premier League game. Their penultimate of the campaign. Victory for Spurs will take them to 83 points, two more than last year's league winners managed to accumulate. The Sky Bet League Two playoff finalists will be decided tonight. Blackpool take a 3-2 lead to Luton for the second leg of their semi-final tie, and it's 3-3 between Exeter and Carlisle. Finally, Johanna Konta is out of the Italian Open tennis. The British number one lost her last 16 tie with Venus Williams in three sets. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Get turned on to all killer, no filler conversation. Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. Welcome along. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Yasmin Khan on Talk Radio as John Holmes is not very well. Coming up over the course of the next hour, final hour of the show. By the way, thank you, team. You made me feel very welcome. Political editor Cornelius.
Thanks very much.
As broadcast through the glass, who I believe she's not measurable today. But that's different. That's nice. I like that.
So, if anything, it's a bit nauseating, I
find.
Is it?
Yeah. What, that she's so happy?
Yeah.
But I like it. So, coming up in this hour, self-appointed political editor, may I add, Cornelius will be casting his election spotlight once more today on the city of St Albans, which he very definitely went to. You didn't go, did you?
No, we didn't.
That's not the point.
Not the point.
Victoria will be fulfilling contractual obligations with her bonus mineral news. Oh, she's got a right face on her about mineral news. She doesn't like it, does she?
Yeah, we get this every 3 days. She hates mineral news.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, everyone does. We didn't do it, I think it's part of our sort of license agreement that we have to do it.
It's in the Ofcom, whatever.
Yeah, we have to let people know what's going on in the latest in the mineral world.
Why wouldn't we? This is Talk Radio, after all. If you want to join in with the show, I'm quite enjoying the tweets that seem to want to know more about my terrible dating disasters.
Yeah.
I never really tell dating stories on air, but I feel I've opened a Pandora's box of horror. Look, if you want to join in the show, you can ring us 0344 499 1000. Standard network charges apply. If you want to text us, text the word talk and your message to 87222. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet at Talk Radio. You can find me on Twitter at Yasmin Khan 1.
Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, this is not a music review as such.
Okay.
Yeah, but what is the song that you stream the most? And does that change, or do you have a go-to?
Myself?
Yeah.
On my iTunes, my most listened to song is a song by a folk singer called Will Varley, which I believe, I can't remember what it's called now. Only because I like a number of his songs, I can't remember which one is my most listened to.
Is this the guy you and John went to see the other night? No.
No, that was Frank Turner we went to see on Friday, who me and John like. He's been on the show, actually.
Oh.
But yeah, Will Varley is very similar to Frank, actually. He's quite political as well, but he's excellent.
Like activist-y sort of music.
Yeah, really good. But I can't imagine he's the most streamed artist.
Well, I'll tell you why we're talking about it in a minute, but just before I do, this tweet here, Clarkey on Twitter says, I've been waiting patiently for mineral news and John isn't even here to share the experience of it all.
Oh, he'll be listening at home.
Hashtag mineral news is awesome.
Yeah, see, people love it. People absolutely love mineral news.
Marcus on Twitter, so he's gone one further. He goes, I'd like to say if mineral news was cancelled, I'd be straight over to H&J on... That's harsh! On TalkSport.
Yeah, well, that's sort of one of the lead problems with their shows. I don't think they mention minerals at all.
They need to.
That's why TalkSport's struggling, so...
Harsh. Let's not talk about that. Yes. So, did you know The Killers' Mr. Brightside was the most streamed song released before 2010?
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the UK's most popular songs. So, that was released in 2004, and it last year was streamed 26 million times, beating any other song released before 2010. And that's because... See, it's a good song.
Yeah, great
song. It's a great song. I'm wishing now we have it, we hadn't, but that's all right. You can imagine it. It's a great song. There you go. Can you imagine the music? But I wonder if it's because when... it's like if you open YouTube and if you've got YouTube open, it'll show what you last played, and it also does that recommend thing,
sure, yeah,
which I know a lot of the streaming services do as well.
Mm.
And if you leave it, like if you're just pottering about at home and doing whatever, it will play stuff and you think, well, this is all right, I'll let it go. Mm. Even though you don't want to feel that you're being like corporately controlled.
Yeah.
And being told what music to like, but it will just start streaming. And also, there's autoplay. Do you know what I mean? So it will just start playing a video or playing the music.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless you press stop on it, then it will just carry on with that. But do you actually, I bet you're like quite activist with your music and you're like, no, I do not want to listen to that. I don't want to be a corporate music so-and-so.
So I've only recently got Spotify because I had an iPod, a classic iPod, which... was my most prized possession.
Right.
But I spent I ended up spending about, I reckon, £400 on getting it fixed over the past 3 years. Just keep maintaining it. And then it just got too far. So
what kept going wrong with it? I thought they were sort of invincible unless you put them in the wash.
It's the headphone jack always goes. And then the main circuit board went for one go as well. So
I've got a little mini one. I'd barely use it.
Well, what I liked about that is that I could hold my whole music library on it. I've got, just looking at my iTunes now, over 8,000 songs.
What?
So, but yeah, but and I was used to having in my pocket any song that I wanted from my library at any point. So if I got a mini iPod or anything like that, I wouldn't be able to fit that much on because it's 66 worth of gigs.
Right.
So I didn't like that, so I've signed up to Spotify, so I can really have
now
that.
You've
and
got
now I've
tracks.
Got any song at my fingertips. But no, what I do like on Spotify is that they make playlists and stuff for you to...
Yeah.
They also have a radio feature.
Yeah.
Where
they do that on one of the services I've got. Is it Amazon?
Yeah. I think they all do. I know iTunes has a radio sort of thing as well. But basically, you can go, okay, I'm really liking Circle Waves at the moment. Play me some Circle Waves songs mixed in with other songs that I would like because I like Circle Waves. That's great. So I quite like that. So yeah, I'm not
too
militant
about it. For mine, they seem to know me quite well. You know, I thought you would be. I thought, I'm not listening to this because they've told me. So I will quite often find, and what's quite spooky about it is they do it by times of day. So if I switch it on a Saturday morning, it'll say Saturday morning 90s indie dance collection. or they'll do it by task, like Saturday morning cleaning the house. And it's like, oh God, this is how sad my life is. It's dictated by playlists. So The Killers, Mr. Brightside, was the most streamed song released before 2010.
It's not even the best Killers song.
It's a good song.
It is good, but...
It's a bit of a catch-all. It's a bit broad.
Yeah,
it's a bit,
true.
You know. So it was streamed 26 million times last year. It beat any other song released before 2010. That's worth £115,000 in royalties. I actually thought it'd be worth a lot more than that.
Yeah, well, streaming famously doesn't give
it
that
doesn't
much,
pay him that much.
Art to the artist.
The most streamed song overall last year was Drake's One Dance, which has been played 141 million times.
I haven't heard that, I don't think.
What? You must know it.
No, I may recognise it.
I'm trying to do
it.
A dance now to it, but no, can't. it was, so that one, Drake's, was the only song to break the 100 million barrier, but 35 other tracks, including Sia with Cheap Thrills and Justin Bieber's Love Yourself. I'm not a massive Bieber fan.
Really?
Are you
judging this on when you first heard Justin Bieber? You were like, well, this is children's
pop. Because it's a lot more grown up now, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's what they've done. They've been quite clever about it. I mean, they must do this. This must have happened for years. But as his audience have got older, they've made the music go older.
Yeah.
And so when like Love Yourself did come out, everyone's like, hang on a second.
He's grown
this is
up
a good
bit.
Justin Bieber song. Yeah. What's going on there?
I see. I was like that with Taylor Swift.
Really?
Her first
yeah.
single, I hated it. Was that Romeo and Juliet thing?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stand it. It was awful.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, shake it off and all that. Yeah,
oh,
it's
definitely,
awesome.
Yeah.
So most played songs by decade. Obviously, streaming's only a newish thing. In the 1990s, it was Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas Is You. I mean...
That's insane.
Yeah.
Because you can only play that for 1 month of the year, really.
Yeah, but there's obviously a theme because in the... if this is by decade that were streamed, so 17 million from the 90s, that was the biggest song from the 90s that's currently streamed. If you look at the 80s, it was Last Christmas and Wham.
Okay.
So there's clearly a seasonal theme.
Well, probably the reason to do with that is that there's been no good, solid, amazingly popular Christmas songs... in years.
Yeah.
Like, there have been some great ones, but they're not, you know, they're not up with the calibre of Last Christmas and All I Want for Christmas. Weirdly, I was lying in my bed in the afternoon the other day and someone was just blaring out All I Want for Christmas Is You by America. I had my window open.
There used to be this thing that you couldn't play, silly really, that you shouldn't play Christmas music outside of Christmas because it's bad luck and all that. All I Want for Christmas Is You, 17 million streams. The biggest song from the 70s that streamed currently with 11 million. Oh, that's a tune. Stevie Wonder, Superstition.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really good. But again, not the best Stevie Wonder song.
Oh, go on.
For Once in My Life. I really like. Also, Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
They're all
brilliant.
I like
that one. Yeah, they are really good. Have you ever seen him live?
No, I was about to ask you. I've missed out every time he's played here.
I've seen him live. I saw him at Best of All in the Isle of Wight, and it was excellent. He's really good, really fun show.
And he's got good rapport with the crowd.
Oh, yeah, he's a real so pro. Good.
From the 60s, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the 50s, see, of the 50s and the 40s.
They had music in the 50s.
They had human beings, what were alive.
Wow.
So in the 50s, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Brenda Lee.
Okay.
And currently the most streamed song from the 1940s is Bing Crosby and White Christmas.
Oh,
so... See, this is all about the Christmas then.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. But that makes sense to me. Because people aren't just going to randomly start going back to the 40s and 50s. Go, I'll tell you what, I
really want to rediscover.
Yeah, or... just some new music. And, Christmas songs stick with... holiday, don't they?
I wonder if every generation thinks that the music of their generation is much better than the one before.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because I'm at that age now where I look back and I think, oh yeah, you see, dance music now, although I love electronic, it's EDM, which really bothers me, that's what it's called now, that's great now, but it was much better when it was my era, and that's when it really kicked in and it was different and it was more innovative. But I think that's just a sign of old age.
Yeah, my DJ name's Carpe EDM, but no one ever gets it.
Have we got a tumbleweed type thing? No. You'd have to play your own tumbleweed. That was terrible.
Seize the beats.
Do you actually DJ?
No, I don't. But no. I might do under the name Carpe EDM.
I don't even like
that music.
Don't think you should. My niece is a hip-hop DJ.
Really?
Yep. And a very successful one.
Wow.
She earns more per gig than, well, any of us here, frankly.
Per gig.
Yeah, she is. She's all over it. But when I play dance music to her, she's like, yeah, no, this is good. I'd play this whilst people are still having dinner, because she, you know, she often DJs in one of those places that where they serve dinner first, and then it turns into a club kind of thing. And she'll say, this is good for whilst people are still eating." Like, what? What's wrong with it? But she knows her stuff. But I say this, and I'm going to incur the wrath of music DJs everywhere. She uses a lot of technology to play her tunes. Whereas, again, when I got into music and dance music, it was you would have two decks and you would be using...
records and mixing. Yeah, no, I know DJs who are some of them are very sort of snobby about, you can't use a laptop. You have to play records and mix records. And it's just like, there's no point.
Do you like it when DJs talk to the crowd, or do you think that's a bit naff?
It is largely a bit naff, but there's some people who can get away with it.
My memory of DJs growing up was if I was dragged to a big Asian wedding with my mum and dad, they would always be always terrible. They'd have no concept of levels.
Yeah.
So one track would be really loud and distorted, and the next would be really quiet. But forever, there would be every single wedding I went to, you would eventually get a bloke going up to the mic and going, "Can the Mercedes that's double parked outside the front registration?" Every single Asian wedding. So there you go. Music, The Killer's Mr. Brightside was the most streamed song released before 2010. And by decade, it seems that Christmas songs win out all the time. I kind of really want to listen to Mariah Carey now, but we can't. Right, coming up, we've got bonus mineral news, which it seems on Twitter, because endless tweets now, haven't we?
Yeah, they're all coming in.
They're all coming in. No pressure, Victoria, but we want your mineral news. And we've also got election spotlight coming up, and we're going to be talking about, apparently, what's her name's getting married on Saturday? Pippa Middleton.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. I wonder if she'll have a wedding DJ.
But it gives us the perfect excuse to look at wedding etiquette. All of that coming up. It's Yasmin in for John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The spin, the soapboxing, the swing.
But how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
Mrs. Wren says you can't have a model home without a beautiful kitchen. And at the moment, all Wren kitchens are half price. And VAT free. Plus, you can get a Bosch dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Mrs. Wren, would you describe your nest as a model home? Of course it is. It's Twiggy. Fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Where do you search for greatness? Hiring the right people can transform a business. But where are they? Indeed has more candidates than any other job site in the UK. Start your search for greatness by posting a job on Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
Now at TradePoint, 10% off all Leyland Trade 10 and 12 litre paint. See in store for even more deals at our decor rated event. Trade on. TradePoint!
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, we have a lane closed due to a vehicle tyre change on the M61. That's southbound between the M6 for junction 30 and junction 9 for the M65. In Derbyshire, we have one lane closed and slow traffic due to a broken down van on the M1. That's southbound between junction 29 and junction 28. In Warwickshire, two lanes closed and queuing traffic due to an accident on the M6. That's southbound between junction 3A and the Corley services. And in Worcestershire, we have one lane closed due to an accident on the M5. That's northbound between junction 5 and junction 4A. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
BT's biggest ever SIM sale is now on, with huge discounts for everyone and even bigger savings if you've got BT broadband at home. Whether you use a little or a lot of data, we've got a SIM for you, with savings of up to £108 a year. Plus, join online and you'll also get a free Amazon gift card worth up to £90. But hurry, BT's biggest ever SIM sale ends 1st of June, so visit bt.com/simonly now.
UK calls, text and data. Savings include £5 monthly discount for BT broadband homes. Excludes business. Compatible phone required, mainly in a locking. Terms apply.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes. On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
So it's Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes this afternoon. And with just 22 days until the general election, you're probably wondering who you can vote for. Well, you have come to the right place, because Talk Radio is the station for general election coverage, and we are here to help. And you know what's really lucky, what's really fortunate, is we've got Talk Radio's political editor, Cornelius Mendes. To be fair, that's a very good political editor name.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, it's quite grown up.
It would be a good Sunday morning TV show name, wouldn't it? Cornelius.
Yeah, I like
or
it.
Or just like Peston on Sunday. Mendes on Sunday.
Yeah, I like it. Mendes on Sunday. Well, he works on this show and he's been busy working away in his office. Have you got an office?
Yeah, they gave me an office.
Ensuring that the station's coverage is balanced, that it's factual and it's up to date. Mm. He's taken time out of his busy schedule to inform you of the options that you have to vote for, so you're prepared for when you're heading into the polling booth. Each day, Cornelius will shine his election spotlight, which is very large.
It's an actual spotlight.
Yeah, it's quite substantial. On a constituency, zoning in on the candidates and the local issues. We've been to Carlisle and Chester, and today the spotlight is on St Albans.
Sitting pleasantly in between Hemel Hempstead and Hatfield is the dreamy city of St Albans. Very much the first major town of the old Roman road of Watling Street for travellers heading north, and it became the Roman city of Verulamium. But it has since blossomed into a dormitory town within the London commuter belt. I am Talk Radio's political editor, Cornelius Mendes, and today I'm here to give you a rundown of who you can vote for in this June's general election to ensure that you feel represented in the House of Commons. So pause listening to Enter Shikari for a moment and delay your trip to Ye Olde Fighting Cock Pub, as we have a look who your options are for this June's general election.
Daisy Cooper for the Liberal Democrats.
Daisy is currently the Joint Executive Director of Hacked Off, which campaigns with victims of press abuse and intrusion for free and accountable press. She aims to fight to protect the UK's membership of the single market and to ensure young people continue to have freedom and opportunity to live, work and travel across Europe. Daisy aims to continue to fight to protect the local NHS, prioritising help for mental health, especially for young people.
Jack Easton for the Green Party.
Jack, a chartered accountant, is married with three children and has lived in St Albans for 15 years. He wants to recruit an energy reduction officer to manage and promote energy efficiency, maximise take-up of funding for insulation and energy efficiency, and to reduce fuel poverty and support community energy projects. One of his other aims is to increase the minimum wage to reach a living wage for at least £10 an hour by 2020.
Anne Main for the Conservative Party.
Former English and drama teacher, Anne has been MP for St Albans since 2005. She pledges to speak out on issues related to schools, transport, the NHS, the environment and housing in St Albans. She believes that only Theresa May can deliver the strong and stable leadership that the country needs.
Kerry Pollard for the Labour Party.
Kerry is a former member of both St Albans and Hearts County Councils and sat as an MP for St Albans from 1997 to 2005. He aims to get ordinary people back on the housing ladder by building 200,000 new homes by 2020 and supporting long-term renters with greater protection for their tenancies. Kerry also hopes to get young people back to work with more emphasis on technical training and apprenticeships and guarantee a job for every young person out of work for more than a year. So there we have it, people of St Albans, the choice is yours. Head down to your local polling stations, whether it be St Michael's Memorial Hall on Branch Road, the Jubilee Centre on Catherine Street, or any of your others. Make sure your vote counts. And let's make St Albans all right now.
Political editor Cornelius there taking a closer look at St Albans. Do you feel like when, you know, we give you that self-appointed title, that you just sort of have more gravitas? Do you stand in a different way?
No, I'd like to say I'm fairly grounded. I mean, sure. I mean, I always assumed at one point the station was going to need a political editor. And then that person called a general election. And I was like, this is my time to shine.
It's your moment in the spotlight.
Yeah, I said, I need an office and I need an office now.
Yeah.
I need a space.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's you know.
Do you have staff?
No, not yet.
But you... You're working on it.
Yes.
So Cornelius is here. It's Yasmin in for John Holmes. And Cornelius and I were just discussing the most sort of streamed songs per decade and how a lot of them happen to be Christmas songs. Donette is on the line. Hello, Donette.
Hello, Yasmin.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you.
And you wanted to talk about this songs thing. Go on.
No, I was listening to your program, and you, all the Christmas songs you were singing, you were mentioning, most of them are in that film Love Actually.
They are, you're right, actually. So the Mariah Carey one, the little girl sings it at the end, doesn't she, in the singing, in the talent competition at school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not the kind of movie that you just watch at Christmas. You should watch it mid-year as well. Because my friend and I, we're both in our 70s.
Right.
And we watch old movies every Monday evening. And it's just amazing how good old movies are compared to some of the movies today.
No, I know, you're right. You're right. But the thing with the Christmas movies, and I do like Love Actually. I know a lot of people hate it, but I really like it. But there is that thing with Christmas movies and Christmas music. People feel a bit, I don't know, weird or superstitious. And there's no reason why, you know, you shouldn't be able to watch them. But you're saying you watch them out of season, as it were.
Yes, and on this Monday, we're scheduled to sit and watch the, you know, at the end of the film, they have interviews with the various actors and that.
Yeah.
And she loves Hugh Grant, and I love Bill Nighy.
I love Bill Nighy.
We have glasses of wine and enjoy the movies.
So, Danette, where do you watch your Monday afternoon movies? Is it at home, or do you go to a local cinema where they do this?
No, we go to her house. I don't have television. She has television.
So, and paint me a picture, because this sounds lovely. So is this your best friend?
Okay. Yes. We're both 75.
Right.
And she lives on the beachfront.
She lives on the beachfront. This is gorgeous, Danette. And how long have you been best friends?
Oh, 6 years.
Oh.
I took her to Zimbabwe once.
Right.
And because I was going, and she said to me, what am I going to do without you? So I said, well, you've got two chances. You can either sit and mope or come with me.
And she came
and
with
you. I didn't think she'd take me up on it, but she did. And but we just sit there and we watch one movie every Monday evening.
And sometimes you watch these Christmassy ones. And for you,
no,
for you it doesn't. Why is it? Why does it not matter to watch them when it's not Christmas?
I don't believe it's unlucky to watch them if it's not Christmas. That's nonsense. Because they're such feel-good movies, especially Richard Curtis.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Well, Danette, long may it continue, and enjoy your Monday afternoon film club with your best mate.
Thank you. It's Monday evenings.
Monday evening. We've got to get it right. Got it. What's your mate? Yeah. What's your friend called, Danette?
Marlene
and Danette. I'm going to write a script about you. I love this. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for calling us. You take good care, Danette.
You have to say it, Marlene, like Trigger does.
Oh, Marlene?
Marlene?
Like that?
Exactly.
There you go. God, blimey, I'm doing impressions to order here. Danette, you're a star. Take care.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. How cool is Danette?
Wow.
I want to go to their Monday Night Film Club.
Yeah, so do I. It sounds really fun.
I love it. I wonder if there's like cake. I should have asked her. Not that, you know, they would be character enough, Marlene and Danette. Right, coming up, we are going to be talking about, I'm quite excited. Yeah, because Victoria's going to have to do her extra bit of work in this bulletin shortly. And we're going to be talking about wedding guest etiquette. Lots more to come. But first of all, at 3:30, just about, Victoria Bourne has the latest headlines.
Talk Radio.
The Prime Minister has launched the Tories manifesto, claiming there are five great giant challenges we face.
One, the need for a strong economy. Two, responding to Brexit and a changing world. Three, tackling enduring social divisions. Four, responding to an ageing society. And five, facing up to fast-changing technology.
Theresa May has admitted the next 5 years will be among the most challenging of our lifetime, but she's promised to build a stronger, fairer and more prosperous Britain. She says people won't be forced to pay for their care if their assets are worth less than £100,000, and she's announced an end to the triple lock on pensions. A couple who tried to stage the death of their 16-week-old baby on a bus in East London have been jailed for 11 years. Drug addicts Geoffrey Wiltshire and Rosalind Baker concocted a plan to try and get away with abusing Imani, who died last September. The body of Moore's murderer Ian Brady has been released from being held under police guard and is now the property of the executor of his will. The child killer died on Monday, aged 79, at a secure hospital on Merseyside. All parties in Wales have suspended campaigning as a mark of respect to former Welsh First Minister Rhodri Morgan. The Labour politicians died at the age of 77. And Detroit police say the death of Chris Cornell is being investigated as a possible suicide. The lead singer of Soundgarden and Audioslave died at the MGM Grand Hotel after a gig last night. The weather, showers fading for most overnight, but there will be more heavy rain for central and eastern areas, lows of 7 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be cool and rainy in the east. That will soon spread, though, northwards. Elsewhere, there'll be some sunny spells and scattered showers. Some will be heavy and thundery, highs of 15. There's more in half an hour.
No, there isn't. There's more now.
Yes, there is.
Because it's time for bonus news.
Don't get your hopes up.
I'm excited.
Don't.
And I'm just going to say that Marcus has tweeted, he said, that lady, Danette, sounded very sweet, but she's delayed. Mineral news.
Mineral news.
So, Victoria Bourne, mineral news, please.
Mineral news.
Yeah, that.
Okay, so people living in a village in Fife have been warned about arsenic dust clouds.
Whoa.
I know. So dried up ash lagoons at what was Scotland's last coal-fired power station have had to be sprayed with water to stop dust clouds which contain toxic metals blowing over homes nearby. So there you go. Danger
wow.
in Fife.
That's quite exciting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't get that in vegetable or animal news.
No.
Danger in Fife.
No.
Mineral news.
Now, I haven't put anything on Twitter today,
And this next story is why, because I started saving a picture, and when you hear the story, you'll realise why I decided against posting it on Twitter. But you can still follow me on Twitter. My Twitter name is Victoria underscore Bourne, spelled B-O-U-R-N-E. So a man in Uganda has been sentenced to 30 hours of community service after admitting to relieving himself in a mineral water bottle that was meant to be used for drinking. But, like, so I think this is slightly excessive. So he's called Stephen Sendeya, and he was arrested last week. So he threw the bottle in the public drain. So it's not like he was trying to sell urine or anything. He just needed to go. He had a bottle, thought that's a good way of doing it instead of weeing on a building.
Hang on, like, we'll come back to the weeing thing in a minute, but is the mineral in that bit of mineral news the mineral bottle was?
Yes, Yasmin. It's all very tenuous.
You can say that again. So hang on, they did him for throwing the water away rather than... Wouldn't it have been better that he did that rather than peeing on the floor in public
that's
or something?
That's what I thought. Yeah, but he's got to do 30 hours of community service now.
Oh, I won't pass somebody who's trying to do the I'm peeing against a wall but trying not to be seen.
I hate people who pee against walls.
It's like, really? Just go into a pub or a Mackie D's or something. Our Cass is pointing at Cornelius.
What tales have you got to tell?
Nothing. I normally go into a local pub, but some pubs can get really funny about it.
Yeah, they want you to buy a drink.
Yeah, and I'm never going to do that. But I know the pubs in London where you can get to the toilet without walking up the bar, and I'm not going to say them aloud.
Is that like one of those life hack things?
Yeah.
This is where you can pee.
But yeah, you know, sometimes if it's late at night, why not? I know it's technically illegal.
It is!
Is it?
What,
I thought you meant going into a pub and using their toilet against their
will. Peeing in public.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, exposing yourself as well.
You have to, though.
Yeah, you
There's
say
no
this.
Other option.
When have you seen, I mean, it's rare, okay, somebody was, but when have you seen a woman squatting down in the middle of the street going, oh, I had to go, mate? I just had to go. You don't, do you?
Mineral News.
Do you need more music?
Yeah.
Yeah, more ranchers, please. Hurrah! So, more mineral news.
Yeah, and three men who found a huge gold nugget in a mine on a day trip after stopping for a barbecue, which is a bit weird, have been caught out having taken it by trying to sell the gold nugget on Facebook. So it was huge, and the men smashed it into three pieces so they could share it between them, but that reduced the value of the gold by £100,000.
Oh no, nightmare.
Idiots. Anyway, so they've been fined, because it was illegal to take the gold, £2,900 each. This is in Australia. But the court did recognise there was no master plan for the crime, the state's taken the gold now.
Maybe it's different rules in different countries, but if they found it, is there not some rule about the finders keepers thing?
Losers weepers.
Yeah.
Well, apparently not. They removed the property when they shouldn't have done. It was private land.
I'm sort of gutted for them that not only that, but the fact that they were like, oh, we'll just split this into three, it'll be all right. Gold is gold, right?
Mm.
That reduced the value.
Yeah, because it was a huge nugget. And by making it into three smaller ones, reduced the overall value. Fools!
What about the fact that they're having a barbecue in a mine? What a terrible idea! That's got to be one of the least ventilated places in the world, and they're just like, oh, we're just going to light up a barbecue in here.
Are you also Talk Radio's head of health and safety?
Well, no, just stupid.
Risk assessment.
I don't know if the barbecue was inside the mine or just like on the grounds of the mine.
Have you ever found... I've found a gold bracelet in the street when
really?
I was quite young once, yeah.
I found a Tamagotchi.
Was it worth anything?
Do you know what? I really wanted one when I was a kid and my mum wouldn't let me. And then I found it and then I got really bored of it and just threw it in the bin.
I kept the bracelet, I'm sorry to say.
Is it nice?
It's all right. I don't know. I've never had it valued. Maybe I should just... No, do you know the funny thing? I came across it the other way and thought, I've never worn this.
Because it's ugly, probably.
It's a bit ugly. But it hasn't discoloured, which tells me that actually it probably is gold.
Maybe sell it or pawn it for something better.
I'm going to go and get it
You can
valued.
Bring it in. I could look at it.
What do you that know
means
about...
That he'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what do you know?
I used to work in a jewellery shop.
Did you?
Yeah.
I find that far-fetched.
Yeah.
It's true. I used to work... Cass can attest. I talk about it all the time. I used to work in a Swarovski crystal shop, which don't use genuine precious metals. But at one point they did. And we used to have to learn all the marks that go on the official stamps.
Oh,
so, yeah.
So maybe
like hall marks.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't see a mark on it, so maybe it's not worth anything. No, but I'll go. I'll go and get it valued. Yeah, but it's like I've had it for like I don't know 20 years or something. It would have discoloured by now because I chucked out a load of jewellery the other day, but not that. Simon sent a text in, but it's been rude about women in Newcastle, so I'm not going to read it.
I'm guessing it's about story two.
The wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. rude. I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't agree with that. Simon's texted it. That's very naughty of you, Simon, but thanks for texting because, you know, interaction. It's all good. is that it?
That's the end of Mineral News.
Oh, Mineral News.
That was really worth waiting for.
Do you know what? I hope you're not being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
It actually took me ages to find stories today.
Oh, blimey,
it actually spent me more time than I did on the
wrong
actual
side
news.
Side of her.
No,
no. No, it was very good, Victoria.
That was great. Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you.
And it'll be Animal News tomorrow.
Yes.
Do you have different music for Animal News?
No.
Still that music?
Yes.
Oh, but much easier to find.
Yes.
Okay.
And more fun.
Well,
sometimes journalists have to do things they don't like. So anyway, but job well done. Thank you very much, Victoria Bourne. We'll have more bonus news tomorrow when hopefully John Holmes will be back. We're hoping he's going to be better. Right, coming up, we've got like traffic and stuff like that. But after that, we're going to be talking about wedding guest etiquette. It's Yasmin in for John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Landlords, Direct Line guarantees to the other insurers' renewal premiums for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Switch to Direct Line Landlord. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europcar's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free. Collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets. Plus, the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers. That's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europcar, your flexible four-wheel friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europcar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
All good things must come to an end, and Matt's beloved work boots have just trod their final step. Time to click and collect from Screwfix. Whatever you need for the job, with Screwfix you can check stock online, then just click and collect in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix, here when you need us.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Greater Manchester, we have a lane closed due to a vehicle tyre change on the M62. That's eastbound between Junction 21 and Junction 22. Traffic is coping well. In Derbyshire, we have one lane closed due to a broken down van. That's on the M1 heading southbound between Junction 29 and Junction 28. In Worcestershire, we have one lane closed due to an accident on the M5. That's northbound between Junction 5 and Junction 4A. And also on the M5, we have a lane closed in slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle southbound. That's between Junction 5 and Junction 6, not helped due to roadworks in the area. I'm Sammy Jolo.
BT's biggest ever SIM sale is now on, with huge discounts for everyone and even bigger savings if you've got BT broadband at home. Whether you use a little or a lot of data, we've got a SIM for you, with savings of up to £108 a year. Plus, join online and you'll also get a free Amazon gift card worth up to £90. But hurry, BT's biggest ever SIM sale ends 1st of June, so visit bt.com/simonly now.
UK calls, text and data. Savings include £5 monthly discount for BT broadband homes. Excludes business. Compatible phone required, mainly in a locking. Terms apply.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
So the next Full Set Breakfast with me, Paul Ross, right here on Talk Radio, will be the morning after the first TV debate of the night before. I know I'm time shifting you, but we'll unpick the runners and riders, winners and losers, and the absentees, and who performed best on Talk Radio with me, Paul Ross. Hope I get your votes, please.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Get turned on to all killer, no filler conversation. Yasmin Khan, in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
There's conspiracy theories on the internet about John.
Go on.
I think they're all wondering why. He's just ill. That's it. Just
he's poorly.
He's not very well, bless him. So we wish him better.
Nah.
Because nobody ever really wants to be off work. Well, they do. Have you ever
People love being off work. What are you on about?
I was trying to paint us as professional. And,
all right.
You know, I'm sure he'd want to be here, but he can't. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow.
Were you about to ask me if I've ever pulled a sickie?
Yeah, of course you have. Not from here. I bet you haven't from here.
No, I haven't from here. When I was working at said jewellery shop.
You pulled a sickie?
Yeah, for an FA Cup football game. Because basically the FA Cup gets drawn sort of quite late and quite last minute.
Yeah.
And my team drew Tottenham Hotspur away, and we didn't really, they were quite a big team to go and see Charlton play at the time.
Yeah.
That's still a lot bigger, if anything. And I couldn't get the day off work, so I pulled a sickie and had to ring from the train station. And I was so scared, but I got away with it.
What excuse did you use?
Just illness. Just, I am, you know, you do that voice, don't you? Oh, I can't come in today.
If you've ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he does that whole, oh, I'm not well, and, you know, breathes on his hand so he's clammy and all this kind of thing.
Mm. It's easier just to text, though, I reckon.
Yeah, but these days, if it's like a couple of days, they'll phone you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and check. You shouldn't pull sickies, it's not good.
Obviously. No, definitely not. I did that years ago. I don't think I've ever actually pulled a full day off sick when not being sick.
Would not do that. It is Yasmin here with you in for John Holmes, right the way through to 4 o'clock when Sam Delaney takes over. Of course, tomorrow on Drive, it's me because it's different on a Friday. But it being Thursday, I am here. Let's talk weddings because that there Pippa Middleton is, she's getting married on Saturday, isn't she? And,
yeah, that's
you
right.
know, this part of me that wants to avoid her wedding like the plague just because it is all over the press. But it's wedding season and there are an awful lot of rules that these days come with weddings. And a lot of the press coverage about Pippa Middleton's wedding is all the rules that she's given out to guests. Apparently there's one about your guest has to have two outfits. Which maybe is these days not that unusual because, you know, there's a day do and an evening do and maybe people want to use it as an excuse to get changed. I think she's given out rules about if you've got a plus one, what's the rule? If they're not engaged, you need to be engaged.
No ring.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, your boyfriend or girlfriend won't be invited if you are not definitely going to marry them.
Wow, that's a real make or break for a lot of people then. Have that awkward discussion. See, if it were me and you're not keen on the person or you're like, it's fine, but we're not there yet, you'd just be like, oh no, it just says just me on the invite. Mm. There's no plus one.
Well, it's quite important for Prince Harry as well because he's seeing that Meghan Markle from Suits. And presumably, I wonder if this whole rule is just
to force them to get engaged.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh. Well, rules are plenty. Let's talk to celebrity fashion stylist Alex Longmore. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Yasmin. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I have to admit, obviously I'm not invited to this wedding, but I do get kind of quite stressed about going to weddings because there's the whole thing about the, you know, what you rock up in. Is it suitable? Can you, should you, you know, avoid wearing white or cream if you're a guest? What if someone's in the same statement-y dress that you are? What happens then? Tell me more, Alex. Tell me all the rules.
Yeah, so I think we all get a bit kind of nervous about what to wear for weddings because also it can be quite uncomfortable dressing in formal attire. You know, you're in kind of a dress that's maybe a little bit too tight or a jacket that doesn't fit properly. We all feel a bit like the stuffed kind of turkeys. So the key is to getting it right, to feel relaxed, as well as also looking the part and looking smart for big, you know, the bride's and groom's big day.
Yeah.
So there are definitely do's and don'ts to take into consideration. I think the one you mentioned, which is quite interesting, which is the cream and white rule, which is, you know, you mustn't wear cream or white to a wedding. Now, I wonder, actually, talking about Pippa's wedding, whether Duchess of Cambridge will wear a cream, because she often does wear cream, and maybe that's her slant of being like the maid of honour, but not the maid of honour. But I think, yeah, that's definitely a no-no. It's definitely a no-no from the mother of the bride or, you know, for any of the family to wear cream or whatever they've been asked to, unless they've got a role. But I think also, you know, not mini dresses. Obviously not jeans, but getting it right, not huge hats, and, you know, just making sure you look kind of presentable, but without, I guess the key rule is outshining the bride.
What about, there's an awful lot of these cold shoulder tops and off the shoulder bandeau type dresses around. Is that okay, or is that?
Yeah, well, it's not ideal for the church, and it depends the religious format of what's going on. If it's in a Roman Catholic church, for example, it really isn't. You know, it's got to be shoulders covered, and that's really the rule of thumb. You can wear an amazing dress, but just make sure for the church bit or the ceremony bit that you've got a jacket of some sort to cover your shoulders.
Or a shawl or something.
Yeah, a shawl, yeah.
And what do you do? Because it happens, it's rare, but it does happen when you walk in, and particularly as a woman, and it's easier for the guys because a suit, I'm sorry, a suit is a suit is a suit. But
no, I agree. Yeah. it's awful and someone's wearing...
Cornelius is taking huge offence at that. But no, there are nice suits and there are awful suits, but you know, it's rare that you're going to rock in and a guy is wearing the exact same suit as you. The problem with a dress, and particularly something you're going to wear as a guest to a wedding, is that you've scoured the high street, or you really tried to go for something bright and lovely if it's a summer wedding, and you walk in and someone else is wearing the same thing.
I've actually been to weddings where that's happened. Thank goodness I didn't style them. But yes, I mean, you just kind of have to grab someone's suit jacket, or just make sure you don't take your jacket off, or you make a kind of massive joke about it, but inwardly are probably a bit annoyed, you know. I've seen on Instagram quite a lot of times someone rocking up in the same dress and then being photographed next to the person and who wore it better. I think that's all you can really do, because obviously the high street, you know, there is a lot of choice, but it's ultimately going to happen that someone's in the same dress.
Going to be in the same thing. I would.
Yeah.
You see, if it was a real statement thing, I would take a second dress and run to the car and get changed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would.
That's good planning. I don't know what I would do. I think I would probably laugh it off and think, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It depends, I think. It depends how important the event was, really.
See, what's making me smile is this whole thing about bright colours and all the rest of it. At an Asian wedding, there is no such thing as, you know, not being able to outbling each other. The whole point seems to be that who can be the most Christmas, walking Christmas tree as possible. You're literally head to toe in gold, silver, jewels, studding, whatever you can get on your sari or your lehenga or your whatever it is, the more the better.
Well, it's wonderful because it's proper celebration. It's properly dressing up, and it's something us Brits actually find really hard to do, is properly go to town. That's why I love, you know, when you see the races up north and the northern, that is really go to town.
They really go for it.
Yeah, really go for it. And that's what celebrate, you know, it's a special occasion. But every day we run around in our jeans and, you know, it's nice to get dressed up.
I know we're looking at these list of, you never know whether they're real or not, but these supposed list of rules that Pippa Middleton has given out, which is that guests must have two outfits.
Yeah, you see, my bet on that is that the wedding will take place kind of, there's obviously going to be two parts to it. There's going to be the day part, which is the service and probably drinks. And then everyone goes back to wherever they're staying and then gets dressed into black tie and evening wear. And then it becomes like a kind of, you know, it's a black tie event. It's a black tie party is what I imagine. So that means long. And it's becoming quite a kind of trend for that kind of uber wealthy, rich.
It's,
you know,
more an American thing, isn't it, usually?
Yeah, very much.
They
wear
black tie to weddings.
But
also, you know, if you think, I'm poo-pooing the idea of that, you know, men turn up in the same thing. But the most effort that I've seen, you know, in a wedding where guys turn up in morning suits is just that by the evening do, all they've done is sort of taken the jacket off and undone the cravat and shirt, and that's it. That's the only change.
And I think there's a reason why, like, James Bond wears black tie a lot, is because men look really good in black tie.
They do.
You know, they do. Whoever, they look good. So it's a good look.
Yeah. And it works. You can kind of, it's a bit much for the day, but you can wear it to the church or whatever and just carry it through. You don't have to faff about getting changed.
But I imagine there'll be morning suits in the church, and then it'll be go back, have something, you know, like a cocktail reception or something, and then they will go and come back that night in black tie, is what I think will be what will go on. If the girls, because it's obviously the women have been asked to wear long dresses, if it's true that Meghan Markle's been seen having two dress fittings or, you know, whatever.
And
I think it'll be quite traditional, actually. I think the church bit will be quite traditional service. I don't think it'll be you know, has, you know, I think she's gone for that country wedding vibe. I think she'll stay to that, but then I think there'll be an all singing, all dancing party that night.
And whatever she's doing, I mean, it sounds like it's a huge wedding, doesn't it? Obviously, they've got money and they've got, you know, they've got the space to do it. But it's almost a case like she's making her mark, that just because her sister had the biggest wedding that you can possibly have, that she's not going to be, you know, she's not going to be left in the shadows.
Exactly, I think so, and I think she deserves that in a way. You know, she's marrying someone who's incredibly wealthy, who's a financier, and his family is very wealthy, and the Middletons are short of a few bob. So I think, you know, it is going to be quite a bling-tastic wedding, I would say. And I think Kate and we, you know, they kept it. It was obviously a royal wedding, but there were certain aspects of it that were very much part of them, I think, and people wearing Alice Templey walking down the aisle, you know, it wasn't like, but I think perhaps she'll probably look quite like similar to how she did when she got married, I imagine that it will be, they're very family orientated family, so I think it'll be a lovely family service. I think that bit is where they'll, you know, make it.
Well, Alex,
who knows?
I'm guessing you're going to be looking out for the highlights of it all over the press. They'll be covering it all weekend. Final question, Alex. Is it all right to wear something to a wedding that you've worn, you know, is wedding season now, that you've worn to a wedding, you know, a couple of weeks earlier?
Well, I personally don't like to, because I think everyone feels special if they've got a new dress to wear.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I would say. I think it depends if the same group of people have been at the same wedding. If it's a group of friends, then I think you're going to just, one is going to look a bit boring wearing the same outfit that everyone's seen you in 2 weeks before. So I would always say, there's, you know, there's really great price range around fashion now that you can definitely invest in a new outfit for the wedding.
Any excuse, kind of basically.
Basically.
Alex, thank you. Alex Longmore. If you want to check her out, she's a celebrity stylist and she's at Alex Longmore on Twitter. Now, this is weird. Hi,
Yasmin. Yeah, as Cass just said, we're crossing the streams.
Yeah, we are.
We're breaking the space-time continuum.
You should never do this.
There was a photo of you and I together, we'd both be gradually fading out of it.
like in an 80s movie.
Like in the McFly family, yeah.
Have you guys ever met?
Yes.
We have.
Okay.
We've met several times.
We are kind of just, we only ever get to say hi and bye. Yeah,
we've never been on air together before.
No.
But this feels special.
It does feel special. It's like the start of something.
Could be.
How are you?
I'm all right. Good, thanks.
Yeah. What's coming up on Drive?
Well, we're talking about how political parties might be using big data to manipulate our minds about the election.
Control.
Which is exciting.
What do you mean, might? They are.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, it depends what you call manipulation, right? Because they might just be advertising. That's fine. They can go on your Facebook
feed. That's what I thought you meant.
They can go on your Facebook feed and say, Cornelius, vote Tory, vote Labour, vote Lib Dem, whatever it is, right? And you're like, fair enough, legit. But if, in fact, they've been gathering forensic data on you over a period of
years...
So they
know your entire lifestyle.
And then making bespoke messages specially aimed at you to play on your many prejudices, Cornelius, right?
His particular ones.
Yeah, yeah, his many, 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 in your case, horrible, ugly prejudices, right, to influence your voting behaviour, okay? And, worse than that, they might not even be alerting you to the fact that it is a message from a political party. So you might think, it's just some cool meme that someone independently minded has shared.
You mean the cool memes I'm sharing are being funded?
Exactly. So how do you feel now for contradicting me moments ago?
You've been manipulated.
Well, you feel pretty stupid, and I've done you a big favour today by alerting you to the way in which your mind's being manipulated.
Look, he's doing that. I'm not bothered.
No, I'm not going to vote now.
Good, because you shouldn't someone of your age and experience shouldn't be voting anyway, in my opinion. But that's another debate. And also, good news, the Lib Dems are going to legalise cannabis.
Oh.
Bad news, I guess they're unlikely to win the election, but who knows?
Who knows? So that's Drive with Sam Delaney coming up. I have been Yasmin Khan in for John Holmes. Hopefully he'll be better and back tomorrow. Thank you to all of you for your texts, your tweets, all your interactions. Thank you to guys behind the glass and Cornelius in the studio. I will see you tomorrow on Drive. It's Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.